much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Look, I'm gonna be honest with you. I really need a job, and I will take any position as long as it doesn't involve having sex with old ladies for money or bear traps. Those are my two bugaboos.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Bill Maher, talking about yourself, he loves food.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Bill Maher, talking about yourself, he loves food.
I love food.
Talking about himself, he loves food.
It's really, really good.
Talking about himself, he loves food.
Give it to my face.
Talking about himself, he loves food.
The Philharmonic.
Talking about himself, he loves food.
All day long.
Yeah!
And now.
You belong in a circus. Right next to the dog-faced boy.
Our feature presentation.
I don't think I ever need to hear Beer Mug say, give it to my face.
I know.
Right?
I know. It's so troubling.
That's not
good.
No matter why he says it, it's terrible. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 30th of March.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's monkey time. Come on. The return of Kevin.
Da, 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 da. Da,
oh,
da, da. Monkey time.
Doing the dance.
Well,
that was good.
Sometimes you have to.
How was your vacation?
Awesome. It was great.
Mexico?
Yep. Cancun?
You are as tan as a pasty person
Thank
can
you.
Be.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Beautifully tan. I'm really, really honky-ish. You know, I'm like really white. So
I can see you.
I have two colors. I have super, super bright white or super bright red. There's no tan. There's no brownish. There's no anything except for white or red.
You have a pinkish hue right now. So
okay,
you're
so,
kind of moving away from the red you probably were.
Right.
More towards your white.
Right.
Good job.
Do you own that country now? Is Mexico your bitch?
Well, Mexico has always been my bitch. Let's be honest about that.
Okay. Was it a relaxing, at the beach kind of vacation?
Yes, it was.
Or was it like a rock climbing kind of vacation and skydiving and nonsense like that?
I'm not a rock climbing, skydiving type. Well, I do sometimes, I guess. But no, this was just as relaxing.
I was thinking about that zippy beach thing you did in Peru.
Zipline,
I thought maybe
yeah.
It was, maybe one of those daredevil
awesome.
Vacations.
Yeah, that was so good. Yeah, this is great. But I forget what it's like to have humidity. Because there's no humidity here.
Yeah.
And man, humidity is like you step outdoors and you go, okay, I need another shower about right now.
Yeah, it gets hot fast, man, in some climate, that's for sure.
But it was fun. It was great.
Here's what's awesome about Kevin, though. He, you know, was gone for a week and, you know, he missed a million things on the show. The only thing he asks about, the only thing he cares about is, tell me about Doto becoming a cop.
Doto wanted to become a cop.
Yes.
And I think we found that out Friday. And I was like, oh, man, I might cancel my vacation just to hear that.
Well, it was one of the greatest Doto appearances ever. And Allie told me that she thought for years that Doto was a voice bit, like was a character. Couldn't believe he was real.
I thought he was fake up until we talked to him and Ralph was in the room.
It is. It's hard to imagine somebody like that is real. But how far along is he? When does he start? When do we have to call him? Officer Toe?
Well, he hasn't applied yet. Oh. He's just thinking about it. He's just thinking that may be the way he wants to go. But if that doesn't work out, he thinks he might like to make it in the entertainment business. But he was in Portland, and we spent half the time just trying to beg him to come up and see me. I told him he could stay with me. I could show him around. He wouldn't budge. Wouldn't come up. He was so close, I couldn't get him here.
Yeah. But was he in Portland or was he in...
No, he was really in Portland.
A family room that he calls Portland. We never know if he's even gone.
He was really... I think he was really in Portland,
right.
But he's very much still the international man of mystery.
I love him so much.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, before we get started, we do have an excellent Kevin and Bean show for you here. Here's a great story. It's been a while since we've done this phone topic. We may need to revisit it. Remember the last time we opened up the phones for people who had faked their way into a job or a promotion or something like that? You know, you show up and you say, hey, I graduated from this college. And if they don't check, it's kind of on them, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You fake it till you make it.
Exactly. Here's a story out of Pittsburgh. A woman used forged documents to pose as an estate lawyer for more than 10 years. before her fraud was discovered. Wow. She was charged this past Thursday with forgery, unauthorized practice of law, and felony records tampering. She forged – she works at a place called BMZ Law in Pennsylvania. She forged her law license. She forged her bar exam results. She faked an email showing that she attended Duquesne University Law School and a check for a state attorney registration fee. And they just bought it all. She has been handling the estate planning for more than 30 clients despite having never attended law school, according to the Attorney General's office. She even served as the president of her county bar association. Her attorney, who I assume somebody checked is really an attorney, said she is an incredibly competent person. She worked very diligently and she was devoted to the people she served. However, given the level of betrayal over 10 years, they obviously have fired her and turned her over to the authorities, and now she has been arrested. So I don't know what's going to end up happening. Here's the statement from her law firm, which is called BMZ Law in Huntington, Pennsylvania. Sadly, it would appear that our firm was the last in a long line of professionals to have been deceived by the defendant into believing she was licensed to practice law. We are undertaking a thorough review of each and every file she may have handled. I guess if it's just a state law, that's not going to cause nearly the havoc that it would if she had been a criminal practicing attorney, right? Because then you'd have to look at every case of you know, every trial she went to or whatever. This is just you know, it's just people's personal paperwork, I think.
I wonder how much they're going to have to go back and check and maybe overturn it or do it again or whatever. For 10 years.
She
for
must 10 have been years. Really good at dotting those I's, crossing those T's for
she
10
must have
years.
Been. Yeah. It makes you wonder how tough it is to be in a state lawyer.
Right. I mean, let her keep going. She seems good.
I mean, I sort of say that to say maybe you don't have to be an attorney to be an estate planner or something like that, because there was never anyone who raised any question about any of the work that she did. So I don't know what's going to end up happening to her, but she was finally arrested. So after 10 years, it finally fell down around her. But let's put that back on the list of maybe phone topics we need to revisit, because that's I personally know a couple of people who have jobs where you're supposed to have college degrees and they just don't.
Yeah, I don't imagine people check that much anymore, do they? You just go, yeah, I graduated five years ago from wherever, and they go,
I would think they check more now than ever before, only because it's so easy to check now.
Well, that
thanks
makes
to
sense.
The internet, you don't have to call and get the registrar's office on the phone like you did back in the day. So I would just assume that everything gets checked all the time, but apparently not. Here's a case in point.
That's so crazy in the world of law too. It's not like it was something where they're less strict. Like a restaurant or something, you know what I mean? Like, this is a lawyer, for God's sakes.
Well, I was a OBGYN doctor, sure. Remember, in the 90s, and I never went to medical school.
No.
Same sort of deal.
Ew.
How dare you?
Dr. Creep. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Do you know why the women dislike you so much?
I work with Bean, I think is the answer to that. Ben Glebe will be in studio today. Love him. He's got a show on called Idiot Test.
Very funny.
Can't wait. Matt Money Smith will call with an update on the giant basketball tournament that seems to be going on now with younger people.
That's what they're calling it now, the giant basketball tournament.
Not sure. We have tickets in the party bus section for April Foolishness.
Which is Saturday, by the way.
That is this Saturday. Wow. How crazy is that? Natasha Leggero would join us talking about the Justin Bieber roast. Apparently, soda is healthy for you.
Mm-hmm. Soda is healthy. Good news for Allie. Good news for me.
How about that? Harvey Levin from TMZ. Michael Cudlitz. From a little show called The Walking Dead, which had their season finale last night, which I thought was awesome. That's coming up, and we're going to announce our top 10 for the opening act for April Foolishness. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Kev Dog is back. The Lamb Dog returns.
Kev Dog.
All right.
Dog. Yeah.
So you've met the new guy, Ralph?
Oh, have I?
Okay.
Boy, have I.
Well, welcome to a Monday morning. How was your weekend, Ralph?
It was spectacular.
Cool. How was Disneyland?
It was great. Exhausting, but great. It was a very
tough
fun
keeping
weekend.
Up with a 5-year-old at Disneyland.
Yes, very fun weekend with the family, but it was a blast. I wish it had been a little cooler, perhaps. Just a touch cooler.
Too warm? Yeah.
March. It's March. Expect 90 degrees in March.
But at least soon it'll be 100 in April instead of 100 in March. So exactly. You got that to look
it's
forward to.
It's very rare that a tweet will bring a tear to my eye.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph's tweet over the weekend.
About?
Is that my nude pic?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Not that one?
That made me squint.
Oh, okay.
No, the tweet about what your daughter said to you after a day at Disneyland.
Yes. After the day was over and we were all just dragging our butts back to the hotel, she said to my wife and I, "This is one of the greatest days of my life." And I was like, "You're five."
No.
Well, no, I didn't say that at all. No, no, it was a special moment when she said that. I was like, "Well, that's why you do it, right? That's why everything happens." And so it was pretty terrific.
But kept complaining.
No, I didn't really. Oh, okay. I had a great time at Disneyland. And, you know, me, I was the one who took on the pass holes, the people who go to Disney every week.
Sure.
And mocked them. And I still would never do that in a million billion years. But I have to tell you, there is something special about that place. There is a little magical quality about Disneyland.
What happened?
Yeah.
We got there and it really sort of...
Got a pass hole in training.
It makes you... It's a happy place. It just makes you happy. Even with the crowds and the heat and everything else, there's just something about that place that's kind of unique.
Would you say it's the happiest place in the world?
I might go as far as to say it's the happiest place on earth.
Hmm.
All right.
All right.
So everyone okay?
All good. Yeah. Just trying to figure out what you've done with Ralph.
I'm just saying we had a good time. Although, if I may make one suggestion to the good folks at Disney, that would make everyone's life a little bit better.
Yeah.
No effing selfie sticks. No more effing selfie sticks in the park.
Now, why? Let's stop hitting each other with it?
Well, let me suggest to you, Kevin.
Okay.
In the best of situations, mm-hmm. in a crowded area where there's just tons and tons of people who need to negotiate their way around each other.
Right.
The best of situations. How good are people at that? Now put 3-foot-long, pointy metal poles in their hands.
Yeah.
And then what do you think happens in those situations? I'm just saying.
It gets better?
I say it would be less than better.
Yes. Okay. So not so much that.
Maybe take the selfie sticks away from the people who use them and drive them square up their butts. I'm saying.
Hey, they banned them at Coachella this
year.
Yeah. Word is already out.
Lollapalooza, too, by the way. You can't use them there either.
Yep.
So stop it. Coachella, by the way, calls them narcissistics.
Okay.
See? Because you take a picture of yourself with a stick. It's a narcissistic.
Good.
That was pretty good. Yeah, it's just, I understand it. I get it. I can see why they're useful. But in a close situation with large crowds, it's not conducive to good social behavior.
I sort of feel like a selfie is a certain angle from a certain distance, and that sort of doesn't make sense to me.
I guess you get more people in a selfie.
Well, sure, but then just have someone else take it.
That's an option, too.
I mean, yeah. A selfie is a selfie that you take with your own arm, not a 3-foot wand.
Right. It's not a wandy. They don't call it a wandy,
exactly.
Do they?
Exactly.
Right. All right. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Speaking of kids, number one, by a long shot, was Home, and its debut made $54 million. Story of little O and coming to Earth and hanging out. Get Hard, this debut, the new Will Ferrell movie, did pretty well for itself. $35 million, made it number two at the box office.
Shall we guess whether Kevin saw it or not?
Let's. I think Kevin was too busy to go to the movies this weekend.
I'm going to say I don't think Kevin would miss a Will Ferrell movie no matter how bad it is.
I'm going to say I know.
Well, don't say I know. Then you just should say it and then win.
I'm not a cheater.
Oh, since when?
Really?
Belichick.
Kevin, how was it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah!
It's the same as most Will Ferrell movies, which is not great, but mm-hmm. I love watching him.
Right.
He makes me happy.
Yes.
But if that is not the case for you and you're not necessarily a Will Ferrell fan, you probably didn't like it much.
Right.
Not that good.
Insurgent from the Divergent series was number three at the box office. Then Cinderella and It Follows. Kingsman, The Secret Service was number six. Run All Night, number seven. The Second Exotic Marigold Hotel was number eight. Do You Believe? And The Gunman, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Miley Cyrus in the news. She has made a necklace out of her own wisdom tooth.
Okay. All right.
And she modeled it this weekend on Instagram. But she was topless when she did it. Oh, Miley, you incorrigible minx. Oh, Miley, you're an out-of-control little wisp of a woman. We're all shocked, Miley, by your nudity and your behavior.
Be a lot better if she didn't have Justin Bieber's body.
Yeah.
People would care.
It'd be better if she didn't do this every day.
Yeah. But I'm saying, if she was this hot, you know, then maybe, all right. Hmm. I'd err on the side of every day. I'm good with that.
Here's the thing about shock value. Try to do something for shock
value.
I
hear you, yeah.
You can't keep it up for very long until whatever you're doing that try to shock people becomes the everyday.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about her posting another yet nude picture of herself doing something wacky. So be it. Don't forget tonight, a little programming note. Comedy Central will show the pre-taped roast of Justin Bieber tonight. You can check it out. And while we're talking about television, this is kind of cool. Mad Men fans who visit the Smithsonian Institute of American History will be stoked to see a collection of costumes and props from the show on display as part of their exhibit on American culture. So you can look forward to that if you're a Mad Men fan. I know I am. And lastly, former James Bond Roger Moore has said publicly over the weekend that Idris Elba isn't English enough to play James Bond.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Racist. Roger racist. What does that mean? Is that English enough? He's from England.
I don't know. That's strange.
First of all, Sean Connery was Scottish. From Scotland.
Yeah.
He wasn't English enough. Ugh. George Lazenby, Australian.
Yeah, that's weird.
Timothy Dalton, Welsh. There's been more actors who haven't been English than English who played the role. And by the way, Idris Elba is from England.
It sounds racist.
He's not English enough.
That's code.
By English, I mean white. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Warren Beatty. He is 78 years old today. Eric Clapton turned 70. Actor Paul Reiser is 58. How good was he in Whiplash, by the way? No one talked about his performance in Whiplash. I thought he was really strong in that film. MC Hammer, 53. Might be Hammer time later on today.
Might be.
Ian Ziering, star, of course, of the Sharknado franchise, 51 years old today. He's the what? The what? He's 51?
No.
That's what it says right here.
It makes sense, I guess, with his career, but...
Really?
He doesn't look
that's
51
a pretty great-looking 51.
What happened?
Ass. I hate him. I used to like him. Now I hate him. Piers Morgan is 50. Now that's what 50 should look like. Just a big, doughy, just messy blob of humanity. That makes me feel better. Celine Dion is 47. Nora Jones turns 36. Comedian Pete Holmes is also 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Saturday night, we're going to be at the Shrine Auditorium for the 7th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. The 2015 edition has Tenacious D and has Ralphie May and Jay Moore and Adam Ray and Eliza Schlesinger and our little friend Brad Williams and more. And we still have one slot open. Who is going to come out on stage at the Shrine and welcome the audience to the show? Who is going to be the opening act comedian? Well, we're one step closer, as you can go to KROQ.com right now or KevinandBean.com and see the 10 finalists vying for that position based on your votes.
So you go there, you watch, I believe the videos are all right around 2 minutes, maybe a minute.
That's right.
A minute 50 to about 2.5. And there's 10 people on there, and it doesn't take very long, but you can watch them, and then you can vote to see who's going to be the opening act. The first one is Kelsey Cook. By the way, I think there are 3 women in the top 10. Pretty strong.
Nice.
Pretty strong. Excellent. This is Kelsey Cook.
My childhood cat, Callie, died. And I texted my friend Jenna the news of Callie's death. But what I didn't realize was that autocorrect changed the name Callie into Kelly, which is the name of our best friend. Yeah. This is the text conversation we had. Hey, Jenna, I've got some sad news. Kelly's dead. Oh, my God. What happened? She got hit by a car. Did you call an ambulance? I already buried her.
And it goes on from there, and it's very funny. By the way, I know that there are a lot of people trying to make it in comedy in Southern California, and almost all of the videos were people who were actually up on stage at comedy clubs. So I know they're out there working and hustling. I was so impressed with the caliber of the quality of the entries for this year. I mean, we had a couple of hundred people who applied, and in general, man, there's a lot of talent out there on the stage.
Yeah, I agree. Here's Junior De Guzman from a place that I've never heard of called Granite Bay. Anybody know where that is? Granite
Bay? Sounds like someplace you'd find on a CW show. Like, it's made up.
Like, I teach third graders music, and one of the songs that we teach is I've Been Working on the Railroad,
all my live long life. And you know who loves that song is kids. You know who hates that song is Chinese immigrants from the 1860s. Like, never really got into it. Yeah. If you didn't laugh at that joke, you probably don't know history. Yeah. Or you're a Chinese immigrant from the 1860s.
I'll tell you what I felt funny about that guy is that he has a guitar around his guitar strap, and he's got a guitar on his – and not
never played.
Doesn't use it at all in that particular
– Well, clip. At least in the clip that we saw. Yeah, that may be another part of the act, but I'm looking forward to seeing more of Junior. He's very funny.
There's also Jeff Keith.
I didn't react the way a normal guy would. What would a normal guy say? He doesn't want to do something his wife or girlfriend wants to do. Nah, stupid. It's dumb. Nah, it sucks. That's a horrible, douchey way to react, fellas. I really didn't want to go to the ballet. This is how I got out of it. I was like, the ballet? Yeah, the ballet's awesome. Me and my ex, that was our thing. Then she was like, f*** the ballet. We don't have to go. I told her, I said, we don't go to the ballet. That's fine. Our thing can be watching sports.
Pretty good.
Very
That's
funny.
Real good.
So you find all of these videos at krock.com, kevinandbean.com, and you just cast your vote. And I think it's kind of like we did with Mr. Double D, where you can go every day and cast a vote for your favorite. And then whoever has the most votes by the close of our show on Thursday, I guess we call them on Friday and say, hey, guess what? You're working tomorrow night. You're opening Kevin and Bean's April Fool's Test.
One of the guys I like looks like a stoner. And his name is Dan Madonia.
I do drugs professionally mainly because you don't want me doing anything else. You don't want me watching your kids. Which is bullshit because we watch the same shows.
And he goes on with all the things that you don't want him doing. And he's pretty much accurate on all of it. So there's 10 of them up there. You go to kevinandbean.com. You vote through Thursday, and then we pick an opening act for April Foolishness.
Got a big program for you today, including our friend Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead, comedian Ben Glebe on the program today, and comedian Natasha Leggero all coming up on K-Rock this morning. By the way, just real quick before we go to Harvey Levin in the TMZ newsroom, we talked about how the opening act contestants are up online at kevinandbean.com if you want to go and cast your vote. Just real quick, let me mention the other people whose names we didn't mention when we unveiled it a few minutes ago because maybe you are a fan of them or a friend of theirs and you want to go on and vote. Dean Wolf from Valley Village is one of our finalists. Kat Radley from Venice. Also Eddie Pence from Los Angeles. Ivan Pichel from Newhall. Nick Morton from Los Angeles as well. And I think the other one we didn't mention was Michael Lennessy from West Hollywood. So those, along with the others we already named, are your top 10. You can find them at krock.com and cast your vote.
Say good morning to Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very
good.
Harvey.
Doing great. You watch any of that iHeartRadio concert on NBC last night, Harvey?
I did not. We put some of the stuff up on the site, but personally, I did not.
I didn't either. I did, although I did tune over when I saw that Madonna was performing. She was doing her new ballad with Taylor Swift playing guitar. And I wanted to ask, because it reminded me so much of her performing with Britney all those years ago.
Right.
Is it just her being a savvy current businesswoman by teaming up with these much younger performers? Or at some point, does it strike you as a little bit desperate that, hey, she's Madonna, but she still has to find somebody young to go on stage with?
You know, it's all kind of wrapped up in the same thing, isn't it? But
yeah.
But ultimately, I think you have to say that she's smart. I mean, Madonna is, you know, a lot of people love her and some people don't, but she has figured out a way of staying in the news. She's not like a Vegas act, and, you know, she's attaching herself to, you know, to a lot of people who are current, and they're happy to be attached. So, you know, it works for her.
And her tours are...
You got to give her credit.
Her tours make bank.
I know.
I mean, I guess you're right. I guess...
I got to tell you guys, I think she is one of the top five most successful people in the history of music.
I think so, too.
Over time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I guess you're right. If it's just Madonna coming out on stage last night, not being as currently as popular as a lot of those other performers who are all over the radio, maybe it doesn't make a splash, but you team up with somebody who is white hot right now, and all of a sudden you kind of force everybody to watch your performance. I guess she's smart like that. You're right.
And it's like kissing the ring because people like Taylor Swift, you know, love to be around Madonna. So it works. It's not like she's grabbing onto somebody who's unwilling. They like it too.
Right. All right, let's talk about the controversy from last night. Jamie Foxx comes out, and he does what, Harvey?
Well, he comes out and he says that Bruce Jenner is going to perform a duet, a male-female duet, but he's going to do it himself. And then he follows it up with, oh, I'm just busting his balls while I can.
So where are we in 2015 on transgender jokes? Is it a no-no for anyone to laugh about, or are those jokes just not funny enough to be worth it?
It wasn't that funny, but, you know, it's interesting because when you really think about it, you know, people in the transgender community would, I think a lot of them would take offense to that because it's they'd say it's a cheap shot. And then you have to start looking, because here's the reality, I think, in America, which is that there are certain groups that it's more offensive than others, even though it's exactly the same drill. You know,
right.
It's the same drill, but you can tell gay jokes, you know, to a certain extent, but you can't tell other jokes. I mean, it's all kind of on a food chain where, you know, certain things are more offensive than others.
And I think it helps if the joke is funny. At least some people can laugh, but if it's not, that didn't seem very funny at all. Now all of a sudden you're just insulting and you don't even have anything funny to say.
I love you guys.
I'm serious.
The funny exception.
No, I'm serious. When you go on stage and you say something controversial, it better be funny.
Well, you're right. I mean, you're right, because if it's, because you've, that's the only thing you got going for you.
Right.
Now, what about Jamie Foxx? Does he get a pass a little bit just because he's always been this way? He's always been kind of outspoken and kind of dirty and everything like that. People don't expect – it's not like this came from somebody who you expect to be playing it safe.
That does kind of dovetail, doesn't it, into this whole Ralphie May thing over the weekend. It's the exact same thing, which is, you know, I don't know if you heard what happened with Ralphie May. We got him on the website. He just went after Ludacris. Because if you remember during the Justin Bieber roast, they told some Paul Walker jokes. And Ludacris really went crazy on it. And Ralphie May said, you know, shut up. You're not a professional comedian. This is what professional comedians do. Comedy Central kisses the asses of these stars who have no business doing roasts and being involved in roasts. Mm-hmm. And Ralphie May just went off, and it's exactly the same thing. He's basically saying, leave it to the professionals. Comedians have a pass. Comedians do this for a living. And don't start complaining if it offends you, because that's what comedians do.
I agree with Ralphie May, and it is a great clip up at TMZ.com. But you also, I mean, it's not hard to look at it from Ludacris's perspective, which is, A, he's not a comedian, but B, he was also really good friends with Paul Walker. I mean, so they worked together in his Fast and Furious movies. I mean, so it's not quite as funny when somebody's making the joke about your friend driving into a tree.
True, and I'm not defending it, but at the same time, you know, it depends on whose ox is getting gored. And, you know, there are a lot of jokes that they, you know, they told jokes about Justin Bieber, and there are a lot of people who love Justin Bieber, and they're going to be offended too. So, you know, by definition, these jokes are going to offend some people, and the question is it fair game, or are there limits? And if there are limits, what are the limits?
Right. Yeah, and that's something we certainly learned with this job over the years, Harvey, is that everybody's line is different, and that line is constantly shifting too. So it's kind of impossible to not offend somebody at some point.
That's right.
But I will just say the roast, again, is one of those things that is supposed to be offensive.
Yeah, that's its job.
That is its job, is to be offensive. I mean, it really is.
And when you get Jeff Ross, you know, I mean, that's the weird thing. It's like, you know, Jeff Ross makes a living doing this stuff, and the others who do this too. So here you have these people who, you know, when they sign them up, you know it's going to be offensive.
Right.
And then you get a group that has different sensibilities, and there's going to be a clash. And, you know, Comedy Central kind of builds it for that kind of clash.
You're going to be watching the Bieber roast tonight, though, aren't you, Harvey?
Oh, I'm there. Actually, you know, I'm going to watch. Can I tell you what?
Yeah.
I am so into Bates Motel. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh. It is. They've done everything but have sex. Those two, haven't they?
Oh, but have you? Are you watching it?
Yes.
Oh, it is so good. It is such a great show, and yeah.
when mom and teenage son start sleeping in the same bed, you got to go, all right, how much further can they push this? It's too much. All right, we're out of time, Harvey. I know you got a meeting to get to. You're doing great work over there at TMZ.com, and you're all over Channel 11 today with both shows and TMZ Hollywood Sports on The Reels Channel at 3. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. See ya.
We'll talk about the season finale of The Walking Dead that aired last night with our friend Michael Cudlitz. Of course, if you didn't see the show last night, no spoilers here, but he could be dead. He could be alive.
That's
you don't know,
true.
Man.
That
you
is
don't
true.
Know, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be one of those two options for sure.
I think so. Anyway, we love Cudlitz, and he'll be joining us coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, look, you guys, it's Beer Mug.
Yay!
Hello,
Beer Mug.
How you guys doing? Beer mug.
What's going on with Beer mug?
Here's what's going on. He's got a plan. He's got a vision for the future.
Beer
as
mug does?
Always, yes. He has another harebrained scheme that is guaranteed to net him a ton of money.
You're going
to
gamble on fighting.
No.
You're going to gamble in Vegas.
No.
You're going to gamble.
No, please.
Football.
Gambling is so 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I don't understand. And I know that Muggs is a hustler and he's always got his eye on the prize. But why do you need to even come up with another money-making scheme if you already are have a 97% success rate with sports gambling? Well, I don't even understand why you're looking for other options of how to make money.
My last sports loss, my gambling loss, left me with a bad taste in my mouth. So, you guys know I'm an entrepreneur.
You know Beer Mug's motto, Bean? You can never be too rich or too thin.
That's
how
true.
How dare you?
Know those, that's
true.
How he lives his life.
How dare you?
In what way is he a hustler, and in what way does he always have his eye on the prize? Both of those statements were odd to me.
He's always coming up with genius plans to make long
yes.
green.
All right,
that's right.
Is this
long
to pay green. Off the gambling debts? Is that why you need to do something else?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the plan?
It's going to augment his income with this plan.
I am going to become a driver for Uber.
Yay! Yes!
No.
Yes!
Yes.
And in order to accomplish that goal, Beer Mug, what you doing next?
I have to invest in a vehicle.
Oh,
he's going to buy a new car, Kevin.
Wait.
Well, so then he can become
an Uber
driver.
To make money. We
exactly,
all know that.
Exactly, Bean. You got to spend to make. Exactly. And that's what I'm going to do.
Your car won't work?
My car will work, but it's sort of a gas guzzler.
Uh-huh.
So in the long run, it will only negatively affect me.
I see.
Right.
So I got to get an economic.
So when you spend 20 grand up front, and then that will be financially feasible because then you'll make that back the first week probably in Uber driving.
I'm looking to find a new vehicle for around the $13,000 mark, not 20, but yeah.
Hey, Muggs, I'm sure you've already looked into this, so this is a fair question. But
yeah.
Uber, you're required. There are certain standards of the kind of vehicle you can pick somebody up in, right?
Needs to be four doors, and it needs to be no older than 6 years.
Okay. All right. So that's where you're at in terms of so $13,000. You think you can meet that criteria?
I think I can meet that criteria, and I think a year's time, I will not only be paying off that vehicle, I will be saving loads and loads of money.
How are you investing in this time-wise? When are you going to drive this car?
So, as you guys know, I come in here, mm-hmm. put my hard time and dedication.
Right?
Yep.
Thanks for establishing that.
Right.
All the way, I get off.
And the time is much harder for us than it is for you, by the way, when you're here.
We're comparable to prison time, really, when you say hard time.
We're willing to release that time back to you if you like.
But I like it here. I have fun with you guys.
But you can drive full-time if we don't tie you down.
Think of the high-profile traffic times in the morning that you'll be missing out.
We don't want to be a negative in your life.
Right. You guys won't. I can work both jobs in. It's perfect because Uber, you could hold a job and do this on the side. So that's what I'm going to do. I usually get out around noon.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get right in the car, turn on the app.
Right.
Start making some money, baby. Start making some money.
Start paying off that $13,000 hole you've dug for yourself.
Guys,
from
get-go. We happen to all, every one of us in this room, use and love Uber, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you called an Uber and Muggs showed up, you'd never use that service again, right?
I would burn that app to the ground.
How dare you? You would want me to pick you up every time.
Look, here's what I know about Muggs. He will talk to complete strangers forever.
Yeah.
He will not stop talking.
Yeah.
You know that you rate the Uber driver.
Right.
You have to get stars, right?
But that's the thing.
Hey,
that's
what's
the thing.
Your name?
That's
my buddy Randy.
One star.
Likes that too.
One star. One star.
But that's fine.
One star.
That is awesome.
One star.
That is awesome.
One star.
No. You can gauge your customer
stars.
When they get in the car. If they want to talk, you can tell right off the get-go.
You
if they
can
don't want to talk.
Whether someone wants to talk to you or
I
not.
I can tell, believe
you
it or not.
Talk, you talk. It's unbelievable the amount of small talk you'll make with total strangers.
But that's the thing. Like, if they don't want to do the small talk, I can gauge that, and I can just let them enjoy the ride into whatever destination they're going.
Hey, you need a drummer? That's the first
myself,
thing to get in the
I
car.
I like beats.
Muggs, have you thought about what that job would be like in terms of just being out there all day on hot afternoons sitting in traffic? Is that really how you want to spend your time?
But I'm in an air-conditioned vehicle.
You assume?
I'm my own boss. I get to make my own hours when I'm out of here.
First of all, if you're your own boss, you have the worst boss in the world.
You should fire him.
Best boss.
You should quit. If you're your boss, you should quit that job.
No, the best boss. And I thought about it. If I put in a good 7 to 8 hours after K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez.
I could pull in like, I could do like $150, $200 a day. Translating to 5 days a week, boom, I'm in the money. I'm in the money.
Well, first
it's
of all,
a grand a week.
We know what a self-motivator you are.
It's true.
We know what an up, what a go-getter
he's
going to
do a half an hour one day and then 10 minutes the next, and that's it.
It was really for me. That'll be the next time we talk about this. let me suggest for you that if you were looking for additional money, there are jobs you can get today that would start earning you money immediately upon starting that job. As opposed to putting yourself into a $13,000 hole.
All right, question.
But paying off that deficit before you make dime one.
Okay.
Hold that answer. I want to add to Ralph's question. Do you still owe money on your current car?
Yes.
Okay. So you add that to the $13,000.
Of course he does.
Here's the good thing,
guys. How much
do
you owe on your current car?
I think I have like $6,000 left.
Okay, so now we're at 19 plus $2,500 for gambling.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing,
you'll
you guys.
You'll never pay off your debt.
You're
going to
be an Uber driver until you're 90. You might break even.
But here's the thing, you guys. I can earn my payment. I can earn my car payment in a day on one car. In a day. So the other 3 days, so I have two days to do one car.
The other car.
And then, boom, I got money.
Third day for gambling.
Right.
Okay.
And there's 2 days right in pocket. Money in pocket.
Well, you know that goes straight to Jack in the Box.
If you don't buy a new car, day one, money in pocket. If you're working as a barista at Starbucks, day one, money in pocket. Not day four, day one.
But I want to invest in the vehicle proper for Uber. And
what?
Yeah, but he's saying don't even do that. Get an actual job other than Uber, and you start earning
and you're
money
not in
right
the hole.
Then.
But here's the
you
thing.
You don't have a deficit.
But here's the thing. I got to come in on those assigned hours. I have to be there at a certain time. With Uber, I can work whenever the hell I want
to. So you're
to
already trying to
here
navigate some days off here.
There we go.
That's the problem.
Yes. Yeah, that is
the
problem.
That's the problem, is that you can also say, you know what? I'd rather get high, which you will do every day.
I'm going to run around the pool for a while.
I'm going to run in place.
I do
feel like in the same conversation where Muggs is announcing he wants to be an Uber driver, he's also complaining that he's having to work too many days.
You'll see. You guys will see.
How we do it. That's how we wake you
up. Yeah.
Wow. Flashback.
Played that.
Hey, guys.
Yeah?
Mumford & Sons coming in tomorrow.
Yes, they're coming in. And they're going to have a show. And they'll be playing some new music from their new record. From their new record.
I'm not sure they're actually playing tomorrow. They are coming in for an interview.
That's
okay, Ralph.
Any
we got
new
it.
Music from their new album. But we're still happy to have them here in the studio. In the studio.
We're playing their new song, Believe, here on K-Rock. Their new album is going to be called Wilder Mind, out on Monday, May 4th. But the reason I bring all this up today is to say that they have just announced that they are going to be performing at The Roxy tonight and tomorrow night. Tickets
what?
Going on sale this morning at 9 o'clock to go see Mumford & Sons at The Roxy tonight. Same deal for tomorrow. Tickets go on sale at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning for tomorrow night's show. So do what you need to do. Get yourself some Mumford & Sons tonight and tomorrow night at The Roxy, and they'll be on the Kevin & Bean Show tomorrow right here on K-Rock. All right, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday. What's going on?
Because it is a Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, Home. $54 million made by that new kids movie. Get Hard, and its debut did pretty well for itself. $35 million. Made it number two. Insurgent from the Divergent series was third, then Cinderella and It Follows were the top five movies at the box office. Number six was Kingsman, The Secret Service, then Run All Night, the second Exotic Marigold Hotel, Do You Believe, and Gunman rounding out the top ten. It's official. It has been announced. Daily Show has a new host, the hilarious Trevor Noah. You know Trevor Noah. Because he's been on the show three times.
I don't think I know him. Is he a comedian?
He is. He's a comedian from South Africa.
Okay.
He was added to the cast of correspondence on The Daily Show back in December of 2014.
They sure are good at...
A scant 4 months ago.
They sure are good at finding funny people, though.
They are. Daily he has done 3 episodes of the show.
Wow. Now he's a host.
And now he's the host. Which makes, I think, about 8 other people really pissed off right about now, I'm guessing.
We've been here for years.
You know how many dumb reports I did? So congratulations to Trevor Noah from South Africa. He's a funny guy, and they must know what they're doing. So,
last week we found out that white actors can't get work in Hollywood anymore. Now it seems like Americans can't get jobs as talk show hosts
right?
anymore.
White Americans can't catch a break in this country.
That's true. That's right, man.
Keeping Whitey down.
It's getting tough.
There's one white Canadian who's doing pretty well for himself. It has been announced that Justin Bieber will indeed walk out to the ring with Floyd Mayweather on May the 2nd. When he takes the ring to fight Manny Pacquiao, Bieber will be by his side.
Yeah.
I mean, we were already rooting for Pacquiao anyway, but now I guess we just need to root for him harder.
Mayweather considers Bieber a good luck charm. That's why he wears him on a bracelet.
Does he?
Yes. Oh, wow. By the way, the fight is expected to be the highest grossing fight in the history of boxing. The gate alone, the gate meaning the ticket sales alone in the venue itself, reportedly will be $74 million.
Wow.
Then add your pay-per-view, what have you, on top of that. And you get a nice little sum. Similar to the sum that Beer Mug will be making as an Uber driver, I'm guessing.
His first day.
Yes.
Kevin, you're a high roller. You're a fancy high roller.
Yeah, that's me.
You're a whale, as they're known
right.
in the business.
You're a whale,
that's
right?
Is there any part of you that is tempted to be there in person to see that fight?
Nope. I've hated Mayweather for a long time because he doesn't fight. He mm-hmm. just avoids fighting and every once in a while counterpunches, and it drives me crazy. I haven't bought his last 3 fights, even. So,
but
no.
Still, to be in Vegas for that event, the town will be enflambé. Yeah.
Do I want to be in town? Sure. Would I want to go to the fight? No, because you'd have to pay a lot of money to sit a long way away from the actual fight. You couldn't
see
anything.
Plus, an event like that drives the hooker prices right
That's
through
true.
The roof,
that
which
is
always
true.
Cheeses me off. That's why I like the off-season hooker rates. Just something, you know.
I like the Tuesday afternoon 1 p.m.
That's right.
Shift.
The $5 5-minute shift.
Right. Of the over 55 hookers.
Yeah. Hey, Ozzy Osbourne has canceled the upcoming show in Mexico known as Oz Fiesta. See what he did there?
See? Because Oz Fest.
It's usually known as Oz Fest.
Right.
Now it's being called in Mexico Oz Fiesta because fiesta... In Spanish?
Right.
Means party.
Right, I think we got that.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Let me explain it for you.
I think we
There was an event Ozzy did often, a musical event called the Oz Fest.
We got,
so
it. We got it. We
now,
got it.
This in Mexico, they were calling it the Oz Fiesta.
I understood.
Why, you might ask? Well, fiesta, I don't know if we've covered this or not, in
party.
Spanish means party.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Why cancel his own festival, though?
I'm glad you asked, Bean. Ozzy will be having surgery in May.
Oh.
And will need at least 4 weeks to recover, say promoters.
Do we know what kind of surgery?
They won't tell us. Hmm. No word on what kind of surgery he needs, but he will head to the hospital after his tour of South America ends on May the 2nd. Oz Fiesta was supposed to kick off on May the 27th and run for a little less than a week, but it has been canceled due to his upcoming surgery. So. And speaking of festivals, if you're going to Coachella or Lollapalooza... Leave your selfie sticks at home. No selfie sticks will be allowed at the Coachella or Lollapalooza events. Lollapalooza, by the way, lumps them in with GoPro attachments, monopods, anything like that. No bueno.
Anything you can stab people with.
Pretty much, yes.
I want you to bring
any
in.
Long metal pole, just use your judgment and leave that the F at home.
How about a sword? Can
no,
you bring a sword to Coachella?
Leave your sword also in the car, if you'd be so kind. Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. I am one of those bad moms.
Okay.
Who does not turn off the radio while my kid's in the car. So my son, Dane, has been subjected to the Kevin and Bean Show his entire life. He really wanted to send the following video to Ralph. This is from Dane. I want to play for you. This is the audio from the video.
Okay.
This is Dane telling me a little story about his little sister.
Oh, all right.
Hi, Kevin and Bean and Ralph. I'm Dan and I am 6 years old. This is my sister Dot. She is 2 years old. She hasn't worn diapers before she was 2. But and she still goes poop, but still sometimes she goes poopoo in her pants, pee-pee in her pants. But that never happened. But the weird thing is that never happens with poopoo. She always goes poopoo in the potty. As a matter of fact, she just did it right now. She just went poopoo in the potty. She just went poopoo in the potty.
Yeah. She just went poopoo in the potty. Yeah. She just went poopoo in the potty. Yeah. She just went poopoo in the potty.
She just went poopoo in the potty.
That's a good delivery.
Thank you to 6-year-old Dane who sent that in.
Well,
it's too bad they already hired Jon Stewart's replacement for the Daily Show because I think we just found the man for the job.
You crushed it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Warren Beatty is 78 years old today. Guitarist Eric Clapton turns 70. Comedian actor Paul Reiser is 58. MC Hammer is 53.
I told you, homeboy.
Can't touch this. Ian Ziering is 51. Piers Morgan turns 50. Celine Dion is 47. Nora Jones is 36. And comedian Pete Holmes is also 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh.
What? What? Oh. Why ah?
Season finale was last night.
It's coming back, dude. It's okay. You're allowed to have a little breather.
It's coming back in like a year and a half.
Hey, before we bring Mr. Cudlitz on, let's warn everybody. We're going to be talking about last night's season finale of season 5 of The Walking Dead.
Spoiler alert.
That's it.
Spoiler alert.
I can play it more.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we can't not talk about it. So if you haven't seen it yet and you're listening live, come
spoiler
back.
Spoiler alert.
10 minutes. If you're on the podcast, just skip past this part. Hey, Michael, say the S word on the air, Michael. You know that, right?
Do you have that clip? Let's play that clip. That was awesome. Here's the clip.
There's a vast ocean of that you people don't know about. Rick knows every fine grain of said. And then some.
Oh, that was so sweet.
That must have been one of your favorite speeches you've ever given as Abraham.
It is. Oh, my God. It was like, when I got the script delivered to me, I was like, really?
How many different ways did you practice that line? Because that line just seems like it's gold.
I don't think I ever
said
it out loud until I did it, because it was one of those things that it was just like, once it was out there, it would be different.
And right.
Reading it on the page, it was just like, holy cow, are you kidding me?
Michael, where are you right now?
I am in Amsterdam.
What are you doing there?
Getting high? What do you think he's doing?
The season finale. I thought I'd get high, pick up a couple hookers.
Hey, it's all legal.
That's the way I roll.
You're at Comic-Con? Is that what's happening? There's a Comic-Con over there in Holland?
I came out here to do Holland's or the Netherlands' first Comic-Con.
Nice.
In Utrecht. And there was about 30,000 people there this weekend.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Well, it was pretty crazy.
When producer Dave told us that Cudlitz was going to be on Monday's show, we thought, oh, man, no. Because we had just assumed this was going to be your farewell tour. You know, you're going to be calling up your friends and going, yep, sorry, I'm not on the show anymore. I have to ask, when the script gets delivered to the actors and you guys know it's a season finale and know the history of what happens in season finales on The Walking Dead, are you a little bit nervous?
I think people are a little concerned at times, yeah. I don't get nervous about that.
Maybe you should.
Well, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know?
What if you just refuse to die? What if you just get a rolling camera and you just go, nope, I feel pretty good. I'm making a comeback.
Well, I think then you have a really unglorious death, meaning you sort of come back and they go, where's Abraham? And they go, I don't know. And then they go, hey, what do you want for dinner? And you're just done.
All right. What did you think? And again, if you're just joining us, Michael Cudlitz on the phone talking about the season finale of The Walking Dead last night. There will be spoiler alerts.
Spoiler alert.
What did you think about the way the meeting played out last night with all that transpired? I mean, it was intense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly think that, and maybe it's just because I'm partial to having the extra half hour and letting things play out. You know, if you're aware that things like have an awesome pace to them when things are able to have the time that they need.
Right.
And I think at times we have to compress a lot of information into our show, and I think sometimes it suffers. And last night was a great example of how when things can play out, when they're given the time to play out, how it can be, you know, emotionally satisfying just to watch people think.
I'm with Chris Hardwick, who on Talking Dead said, who do I have to bribe to make every episode 90 minutes?
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, there'd probably be a lot of people to bribe.
Right, but it's him, so he can bribe as many people as,
yeah,
as need to be bribed.
You know, then tomorrow it'll just be like, you know, some other dude.
Yeah.
What did you think about the triumphant return of Morgan on the program last night? Now, he kind of predates Abraham on The Walking Dead. You didn't get to spend much time with him previously, right?
No, none at all, actually. I don't know. Abraham does not know Morgan. At least we don't know that Abraham knows Morgan. You know, mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe there's a back history there. I believe at this point, at least of what we've seen, I've been a fan of the show. I've never met Morgan. But as a fan of the show, I love Morgan.
What an incredible return that was.
Yeah, that was just badass.
Who's done more with fewer episodes than he has? I mean, he's only been on a couple, three, four times, and he's just crazy good.
Yeah. Well, and that's credit. Credit not only the writers, but him. It's the material. You know, it's just the source material and these just amazing transitional moments that he's involved with. You know, it's a great gig. You come in, you do something epic, and you split for, you know, like a year.
Do any of your castmates get bummed out when they see your lines and they're like, why does he always get the good ones?
Can I just say hello?
Hi, Michael.
And I love you.
I love
and I
you.
Miss you.
I've missed you ever so. Hi.
Love connection happening.
We have
here.
A really good friendship. I adore him.
We have a history of sorts.
He got me a pony.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah.
We're going to need to ask that a little more detail on that another time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And when she says pony,
right.
She means pony.
What?
Right.
Abraham is a soldier. Does he care who he follows? I mean, he's super happy with the Rick-tatorship's return, right? He'll follow Rick anywhere, right?
Well, absolutely. At this point, I've said this before. He's a non-commissioned officer. He's a sergeant. He is not necessarily the guy who wants to make the big plan, but he will implement the heck out of any piece of it you want.
Yeah, yeah. Although Eugene really needs to die, and you were very, very kind to him. You were very kind.
You got us here. All I did was craft a top-shelf lie, to which a person with strength and heroism could apply their talents. My bet was you needed that. I thank you. I am sorry. And I mean both emphatically and in equal measure.
I'm sorry, too.
Utterly and completely unnecessary.
I almost killed you.
Yes, there's that.
There is that.
There is that.
And then I wanted you to pull up your gun and go, boom! Right at that moment. No?
Shoot right in the mullet.
I shouldn't have said I almost killed you. I should have said I should have killed
you. I haven't killed you yet.
Now, refresh my memory, Michael. Tara was the one that Abraham was doing it with in the bus a number of episodes back, right?
No.
That wasn't Tara. He was watching? What was the story with that?
No, Eugene was watching. With Rosita. Yeah.
With Rosita. Okay, I knew it was either Rosita or Tara. Why is he not working? Why is Abraham not working harder to keep that going? It doesn't seem like that's been revisited in a while.
Not in a little bit. That's been more, I always like to say that we've been doing that, but, you know, on our own.
Sure.
Okay.
That's still going on, but you're just not seeing it.
It's just off camera. You're not on a break or anything with Rosita.
Yeah, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Okay, awesome. All right, how much time do you get off before you have to start working on season 6?
I go back in 3 weeks, I think.
Three weeks?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, we've been off since mid-November, let's be fair.
Oh, okay, all right.
You know, cool. We finish a lot of the episodes before the whole second half even starts.
Do you know that of anyone else on the cast that's going to be in Fear the Walking Dead, which is this summer, which is a spinoff?
As far as I know, there's nobody.
Nobody.
In the
okay.
Cast. Yeah, as far as I know, I don't know the specifics on it. I know they just came up with it. Came up. They just got the name approved and decided upon the name last Friday or Thursday. I think Kirkman tweeted it out.
Okay.
So that's all. That's a different sort of.
It looks like it's in Los Angeles, and everything's just starting to go south.
Yeah, and I would guess because it took Abraham and his group almost 2 years to get from Houston to Atlanta, that nobody from L.A. is there. Unless, you know, right. somebody got out of L.A. real quick or somebody zipped back and forth before everything went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know very much about it, and I think they want to keep it that way for, you know, good reasons. I think they just want to keep everybody separate and happy.
Well, Kevin mentioned as we brought you on, sir, that it's always an excruciatingly long wait between seasons. So it's actually kind of cool to know that we've got something that's going to give us our zombie fix over the summer.
Exactly. I think it's going to help. I think, you know, it's just, from what I didn't see the teaser, but from what the Twitter world seems to think, it was cool.
It's cool.
I loved it.
It's real cool, dude.
So we'll see, you know, and it's cool. I like the idea of it being in a different place. I understand it's Los Angeles.
Yep.
So, you know, there's a whole different, you know, urban thing going on there.
There's that. There's a guy walking down a tunnel. That's what we know so far.
There you go.
The guy walks down a tunnel.
And there's still somebody on the radio in Los Angeles, too, by the way.
Oh, that's true.
Which is different than we've seen on the East Coast. And the East Coast doesn't seem like you're coming across anything on the air, but at least
LA.
Yeah,
I do think it's earlier.
This is the beginning.
The beginning, right.
Yeah, well, or there is some sort of infrastructure left.
Right.
And I'd be curious to see what the timeline is, because when Rick went down, you know, how many days was he out? I don't remember specifically. So if it is before, it's, you know, just before.
Right.
You know?
Well, listen, have fun in Amsterdam. Are you going to stick around there? Or are you heading right back, or what are you doing?
Dude, I'm so high right now. I couldn't even find a prostitute. I don't know, for one.
That's going to be the quote. That's the pull quote from this interview right there.
Exactly. That'll be the only thing the producers read from this.
I didn't think it was possible to be too high, but in this case.
To be this high.
Right.
Wow. Michael Chambliss is. And tomorrow I'm a movie star.
Well, congratulations on a phenomenal season. We love Abraham. We love you. And thank you so much for joining us today. As always, we appreciate
your time, sir. I appreciate it. Always love the support. Hello, Los Angeles. And a shout out to all my local 44 brothers out there. I've been doing these a long time. They all listen to you guys in the morning when they build. And I miss everybody. And I'll see y'all soon.
You bet. Bye-bye. If you go to KROQ.com or KevinAbeaton.com right now, you can see the top 10 finalists. Who will be the opening act for Kevin Abeaton's April Fool's 2015? They are all entries that we received over the past couple of weeks, and we've whittled them down to 10. And now you get a chance to vote and decide who's going to be with us on Saturday night at the Shrine. As a matter of fact, Kevin, in addition to seeing the opening act and seeing all the other great, the tremendous lineup that night, we're giving away a pair of tickets in the party bus section right now.
That's right. And it's with punchlines, right? Just punchlines.
That's what we're looking for. Right. If you want to be a VIP at the Kevin Abeaton April Foolishness 2015 this Saturday night at the Shrine, that means you get to sit up close. You get a limited edition party bus section t-shirt. You get VIP parking, VIP reception with the morning show. We are looking for your punchline. So this is an opportunity for you to be funny without having to tell a joke, because we know how tough it is to tell good jokes.
People are terrible at telling jokes.
They are. But if you've got a punchline like...
So the tapeworm stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
I mean, that's all you need.
That's
you just give us that. Boom, you're in. So what's your favorite punchline, or the one that is going to intrigue us so much we can't wait to hear the joke? If you're the right one, then you get to win tickets for the sold-out party bus section of Kevin Abeaton's April Fool's. Just call now, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck.
All right. How do we know that Coke is good for you? I need to know this information because I drink a lot of Coke, and I'm excited about it helping my health. It makes me healthier, right? That's the story?
You know, they used to advertise, Kevin, back in the 1960s, they used to advertise that cigarettes were good for you. They found...
Right. They weren't, but this is.
They found a doctor somewhere who would say, well, I mean, that brand of cigarette is lighter and has less nicotine than others, so I guess if you're going to smoke, that would be the healthy one. And they managed to twist that into an ad campaign to make cigarettes healthy for you. I think that's a little bit of what's going on here with soda right now.
Come on.
Look, no one loves soda more than I do. I mean, I'm right there with you, Kevin. I'm right there with you, Allie. I mean, we all live on the stuff. But there's a lot of stuff in sodas that's not really good for you.
Right, but this study says it's good for you.
Well, here's what's happening, is that Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all the major soft drink brands are hiring quote-unquote nutritionists and quote-unquote health experts and health and fitness bloggers, and they're having them write pieces for them that they then put in nutrition magazines and put as ads in regular magazines and stuff like that, suggesting that maybe a mini can of Coke, for instance, is a great snack idea. It makes you feel good after a workout. You know, you're all tired. You refresh with the delicious can of Coca-Cola. No one can argue that Coca-Cola isn't delicious, because it certainly is.
Right.
But they're kind
of... And if a mini is good for you, then a big can is even better for you.
They're kind of packaging it in a way that is supposed to lead us to believe that soda is healthy. And
right.
some people are suggesting that maybe they're stretching the definition a little bit of healthy. But we wanted to find out more about this because I guess one of the organizations that the soda companies are using is called the American Council of Healthy Stuff. And Dr. Kent Nelson joins us on the phone from that organization right now on K-Rock. Dr. Nelson, thanks so much for coming on, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. I'm sorry. What's the organization?
We're the American Council for Healthy Stuff.
Healthy Stuff.
That's right.
And just forgive me for asking. I mean, no offense here, sir, but you are, in fact, a medical doctor.
I am a medical doctor. Everybody here at the Council for Healthy Stuff, we're all medical doctors. And we've got dietitians on staff.
Okay.
We've got health scientists on staff.
Right.
We got general practitioners on staff.
Okay.
I myself have a degree in health science from a reputable school in Sri Lanka.
Was this online? You got your degree, sir? Or
no,
you actually
I had
go
to go there. I had to go to Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Which, by the way, get your shots. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
I made a mistake. Never want to make that again. Go ahead.
Now, doctor, sugary drinks.
Yo,
it is
already,
widely.
I can tell by the tone in your voice where this is going, and I don't like it one bit.
I don't like it either.
No,
it's just a question. Just a question. Uh-huh. Sugary drinks, many people say, have contributed to the alarming rates of obesity that we have here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Are they, in fact, guilty of that? Are sodas making us fat as a people?
Of course not. Like we told the Coca-Cola people when we did our report for them, sodas are an excellent choice for a healthy snack.
Good to hear.
Absolutely. First of all, you like vegetables? You douchebag! Hey, you like vegetables?
Well, of course, yeah.
Talking to you, beans, douchebag.
No, yeah, vegetables
soda guy. Yeah. Coca-Cola loaded with corn syrup. Okay, they take an ear of corn, they wring it out, boom. They put it in your Coca-Cola. Then you get like a whole day's worth of corn right there.
Okay, that's just not true. There's no relationship between actual corn that you would eat as a vegetable and corn syrup that goes into your soda.
It's right in the same word, for God's sake, corn. It's right there in the name of it. What the hell?
Who's the doctor here, Bean? You or him?
Thank you, guy.
The hell?
I got the lambskin from Sri Lanka hanging on my wall. You don't.
No, that's true. You're right about that. I am unqualified.
Coca-Cola makes a great choice. Look, hey, you know what a calorie is?
Yes.
It gives you energy, calories. You need calories to live. If you don't have calories, you die, okay?
Right.
So you have a Coca-Cola, boom. You got lots of calories. That would get them to help you live, for God's sake. I love Coca-Cola. Having it now for breakfast, for God's sakes. Having a Marlboro Red and a Coke. It's the best breakfast you can have.
But isn't there such thing as too many calories or the wrong kinds of calories that just end up being converted into fat in your body?
I'm not saying drink a case of Coca-Cola in the morning, for God's sakes. You know, but as a healthy snack, absolutely it makes sense. You get yourself a Coca-Cola, bust yourself up a little Hershey bar, drop that in there, circle it around with a spoon, boom, you got everything. You got your dairy, you got your vegetables, you got everything in one little glass.
I like this. I like this guy.
Are there any other foods that maybe we would think aren't as healthy, but according to you, maybe they do have healthy properties?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, the hippies out there in the media, they want you to believe, just eat vegetables and fruits. Who wants to live like that? Everything you can see is in the right amount is good for you. I'm telling you, fudge.
Fudge is good.
You can't do wrong with a nice lunch of fudge once in a while.
Really?
We did a report for the American Fudge Association. And we told them, yeah, go ahead, tell people fudge is good for you. First of all, it's got lots of dairy in it. Lots of milk and butter and eggs and crap in there.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, that's good for you because dairy, first of all, makes strong bones. So who doesn't want a good bone, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess.
I love a good bone once in a while.
Sure.
I'm telling you, I get fudge and Coca-Cola and chocolate, cigarettes, coffee, you name it. It's all good for you. I'm telling you, I got the paperwork to prove it right here. I got a stack of papers.
And what do you, if you don't mind me asking, sir, what do you weigh, doctor?
I don't know. I'm pushing four bills right now. But I'll tell you, I dropped a couple pounds.
You did?
Since I started smoking, it's really been falling off me.
It's great news. Saturday night, I'll be falling off a new stage, this time at the Shrine for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2015. By the way, it's been suggested I should just come out and bubble wrap on Saturday.
That'd be awesome. And then just stage dive. Just go full out.
Fluffy is going to be there. Gabriel Iglesias, our friends Jay Moore and Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Zessinger, Brad Williams, Tenacious D, of course. It is completely sold out. Thanks for that. But we are giving away tickets right now in the Party Bus section. If you want, 1-800-520-1067, VIP reception with the show, limited edition Party Bus section show t-shirt, and VIP parking. We call this one Punchline.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into it for foolishness.
And so we don't need the joke. We want to make this clear. No joke telling. All just right. Punchline telling. That's it.
But the punchline that we ultimately fall in love with, though, we do usually go back and ask them for the joke. Is that still going to be the plan here?
Well, I mean, yeah, at our peril.
Okay. Usually we regret
always,
it.
Doesn't always work out, but all right.
All right. Let's just why don't we just take them in order, starting with line one, and Kenny in Granada Hills will get us started. Allie, this is your first experience with punchlines.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
Well, just hang on to that. Judge in a minute. All right. Kenny, hi.
Hi. How are you, Kevin and Bean?
Good. Thank you. Punchline, please.
An acidic Jew.
An acidic Jew.
See, now that's a great punchline because it's very unusual and it makes me crave what the joke can possibly be. You hang on, Kenny. You are in the drawing. Who's up next?
All right. We got David in Orange. Hi there.
Hey.
Punchline, please.
I would say it behind your back, but I only have a half tank of gas.
Only have a half tank of gas.
Wow. All intriguing. Right. All right, David. Thank you.
I bet that's a fat joke. Brad in Lake Forest.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Punchline, please.
Superman, you're a dick when you're drunk.
Okay, good delivery.
I think I've heard that one, but like I don't remember it. All right, Brad, thank you. Well done, sir.
Let's go to Azusa and say hi to Steve. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Very good, thank you. Punchline, please.
If you don't have a good partner, you need a good hand.
Oh. Well, ain't okay. That the truth, by the way.
All right.
Thank you.
Take it easy. Let's go to Carlos in Bellflower. Hi there.
Her teacher told her to do an essay.
Her teacher told her to do an essay. All right. Thank you.
I'm very intrigued. Allie, have you heard any of these jokes before?
No, but I think I get that one.
Really?
Essay okay. Could be two things.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Stephanie in Woodland Hills. Hi.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Punchline, please.
Boobies.
Boobies. All right.
Oh, you know your audience, Stephanie.
Sweet. Let's go to Los Angeles and say hi to Mike. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
Punchline, please.
Bunny farts.
Bunny farts. All right. Good.
Bean like that.
Bean like that a lot.
All right,
too
one
much,
more.
Maybe. Tony in Corona. Hi.
Hey, Kevin, Bean. How you guys doing?
Good. Punchline, please.
Punchline is, because your penis is hilarious.
Because your penis is hilarious.
All right. You hold on.
All right. So that's what we've got to draw from. What joke do you have to hear because the punchline intrigues you so much? Kevin, what are you thinking?
Let me recap. An acidic Jew.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say behind your back, but I only have a half tank of gas. Superman, you're a dick when you're drunk. If you don't have a good partner, you need a good hand. Her teacher told her to do an essay, boobies, bunny farts, and because your penis is hilarious.
What do you like?
I think I like your penis is hilarious.
All right, Allie?
I would have gone with an acidic Jew.
Okay, Bean?
I am also intrigued by an acidic Jew.
Oh.
But then remember, see, this tells you so much about the Kevin Bean Show. Allie and I love wordplay.
Yes. Yeah.
Kevin
we're
hates
funny.
Wordplay.
I do hate wordplay.
Good point.
So I think if we're going two out of three, I think we're going with all Kenny right. And Granada Hills on line one.
He's going to tell us the joke, and then you're both going to apologize, correct?
I'm afraid possibly. That the joke is going to be disappointing compared to the punchline. But now, before he ruins the moment by telling us the joke, have we already decided he is the winner?
Well,
because
I mean,
it was punchline only. We were asking. The joke doesn't have to be good, right?
And it was two out of three. So
okay.
I'd say yes. I'd
all
say
all right, Kenny. Congratulations! You're going to be joining us Saturday night at the Shrine. Sold out tickets in the party bus section for Kevin Meets April Fool's just 2015. How's that sound?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much.
All right, here we
now
go.
Let's spoil the moment by hearing the joke.
What do you call a rabbi that drinks a lot of orange juice?
God damn you to hell, Kenny. God damn you to hell.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin Show at 7:53. I don't think Ralph's glad I'm back. Getting that sense.
Lily. Grandpa.
Wow.
Doing the Herman Munster impression. Yeah. Hey, real quick announcement. Mumford and Sons, tomorrow morning on the Kevin Bean Show in the 8 o'clock hour. You can see them at the Roxy, just announced this morning. Tickets going on sale at 9 o'clock this morning for Mumford and Sons at the Roxy tonight. And they're doing the same thing tomorrow night, playing with the tickets going on sale tomorrow morning at 9 as well. So go see yourself some Mumford, and then we'll talk to them about their brand-new album, Wilder Mind, tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Very excited to see those young men again. We like them very much. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some tickets to the big K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita. That's happening this Saturday. It's happening this Saturday on April the 4th. All your favorites will be there. Stryker, Omar, Lightning, Dave. All right, not all your favorites, but some people will be there. Go there. Hang out with them. Drink. Bet the ponies. You can't beat this day. Microbrew Fest at Santa Anita happening this Saturday. Metalachi also performing. Here's what your VIP package includes. Free VIP admission for four people. You and three friends get backstage access. You get four drink tickets. You get $106 in cash to use to bet on the ponies. We're giving you money. You're playing with house money, literally. Racing happens all day long. The infield opens at 11 a.m. You got to be 21 years of age or older for this prize, but give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number 21, since you got to be 21 years of age or older. Caller number 21 will win this four-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita Derby Days.
Hey, Jim Rome, is your horse going to be running on that day at Santa Anita?
That's right. My horse, Scalded Balls, will be there.
Shared belief.
Shared belief. Will be running.
Best horse ever, right?
I love that horse.
I'm betting on Scalded
My
Balls.
My favorite athlete of all time. Never complains. Never asks for a raise. Just pay her in oats. Or him, depending on what kind of horse it is. Love that horse. Love the sport of racing. Could not be better. Now I'm done.
All right.
Let's talk about show business. Since it's Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Home, in its debut, $54 million made it number one this weekend. That's the movie about the little alien who comes to visit.
Yeah, with Rihanna doing a voice in it, right?
Jennifer Lopez and the guy from Big Bang Theory, Jim Parsons, also in it. Get Hard was number two at the box office, the Will Ferrell movie. Made $35 million. Some of that was Kevin's hard-earned cash.
It was. Kevin, I was in no matter what.
Kevin laughed.
It's Will Ferrell. I love Will Ferrell.
A legend. One of the funniest guys. Love Will Ferrell. Kevin went. He laughed. So I'll get hard. Now I'm done. Insurgent was number three.
But not a good movie, you said, though, right, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I love Will Ferrell. He makes me laugh every single time I see him. If that's not the case with you, this isn't necessarily going to turn your opinion of him around.
What's your tolerance for Kevin Hart? Because he's very annoying to some people.
He was fine.
Was he funny?
He was funny.
Is he selling me rims?
He's not selling you rims.
Then I'm okay. He's not trying to sell me rims. I'm happy. Insurgent was third at the box office. Cinderella. I met Cindy over the weekend, by the way.
Did you?
Lovely girl. Mm-hmm. Could not have been
nicer.
You
went to Disneyland.
I did go to Disneyland. Right. She was a sweetheart. We got to meet Cinderella.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin Show at 7:53. I don't think Ralph's glad I'm back. Getting that sense.
Lily, Grandpa. Wow.
Doing the Herman Munster impression. Hey, real quick announcement. Mumford and Sons, tomorrow morning on the Kevin Bean Show in the 8 o'clock hour. You can see them at the Roxy, just announced this morning. Tickets going on sale at 9 o'clock this morning for Mumford and Sons at the Roxy tonight. And they're doing the same thing tomorrow night, playing with the tickets going on sale tomorrow morning at 9 as well. So go see yourself some Mumford, and then we'll talk to them about their brand-new album, Wilder Mind, tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Very excited to see those young men again. We like them very much. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some tickets to the big K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita that's happening this Saturday? It's happening this Saturday on April the 4th. All your favorites will be there. Stryker, Omar, Lightning, Dave. All right, not all your favorites, but some people will be there. Go there. Hang out with them. Drink. Bet the ponies. You can't beat this day. Microbrew Fest at Santa Anita happening this Saturday. Metalachi also performing. Here's what your VIP package includes. Free VIP admission for four people. You and three friends get backstage access. You get four drink tickets. You get $106 in cash to use to bet on the ponies. We're giving you money. You're playing with house money, literally. Racing happens all day long. The infield opens at 11 a.m. You got to be 21 years of age or older for this prize. But give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number 21. Since you got to be 21 years of age or older, caller number 21 will win this four-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita Derby Days.
Hey, Jim Rome, is your horse going to be running on that day at Santa Anita?
That's right. My horse, Scalded Balls, will be there.
Shared belief.
Will be running.
Best horse ever, right?
I love that horse.
I'm betting on Scalded
My
Balls.
My favorite athlete of all time. Never complains. Never asks for a raise. Just pay her in oats. Or him, depending on what kind of horse it is. Love that horse. Love the sport of racing. Could not be better. Now I'm done.
All right.
Let's talk about show business. Since it's Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Home, in its debut, $54 million made it number one this weekend. That's the movie about the little alien who comes to visit.
Yeah, with Rihanna. Rihanna doing a voice in it, right?
Jennifer Lopez and the guy from Big Bang Theory, Jim Parsons, also in it. Get Hard was number two at the box office, new Will Ferrell movie. Made $35 million. Some of that was Kevin's hard-earned cash.
It was. Kevin, I was in no matter what.
Kevin left.
It's Will Ferrell. I love Will Ferrell.
A legend. One of the funniest guys. Love Will Ferrell. Kevin went. He laughed. So I'll Get Hard. Now I'm done. Insurgent was number three.
But not a good movie, you said, though, right, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I love Will Ferrell. He makes me laugh every single time I see him. If that's not the case with you, this isn't necessarily going to turn your opinion of him around.
What's your tolerance for Kevin Hart? Because he's very annoying to some people.
He was fine.
Was he funny?
He was fine.
Is he selling me rims?
He's not selling you rims.
Then I'm okay. He's not trying to sell me rims. I'm happy. Insurgent was third at the box office. Cinderella. I met Cindy over the weekend, by the way.
Did you?
Lovely girl. Could not have been nicer.
You went to Disneyland.
I did go to Disneyland. She was a sweetheart. We got to meet Cinderella, Ariel, and Snow White.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Snow White is like, come on. Snow White's the OG princess of all time.
Sure.
I mean, she's the big mahoff, in my opinion. She kicked off the whole phenomenon of the princess thing.
Were you in awe?
I was in awe.
Did you say anything?
Spent a little time with Snow. And we...
Is she still white?
We chatted. She is still white, yes. You racist bastard. Kingsman was sixth at the box office. Run All Night, The Second Exotic Marigold Hotel, Do You Believe, and The Gunman. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Happy to announce that the Avengers Infinity War movies have announced their directors. They're going to be directed by Joe and Anthony Russo. Those are the boys who gave us Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
All right.
And they did a brilliant job.
That was well done.
It's really one of my favorite films, not only just superhero movies, but one of my favorite movies of the year. They did a terrific job. And I got to work with Anthony a little bit because he directed the first episode of Agent Carter that I did.
He's a
real nice guy, and I'm glad to see that those guys are being handed the reins of the Avengers franchise. More news. Daily Show has picked their new host. His name is Trevor Noah.
Oh, Trevor Noah. That's good work.
He is a little-known comedian from South Africa. He has worked on The Daily Show, but he's only done three stories on the show. He just got tapped to join the cast back in December of 2014, so he's only been with them for a few months. He did three segments with Stewart, one about Ebola, one about Boko Haram, and one about the game of chess.
Okay.
But apparently he showed the producers enough that they chose him over a lot of other potential hosts that have worked on that show for a while.
I'm sure they've had all sorts of auditions that we weren't privy to in the last few weeks or something like that. They wouldn't just base this, put him on the desk based on his field pieces,
No,
I'm sure.
They would not. He was contacted by the New York Times to see how he felt about getting the gig. He said, you don't believe it for the first few hours. He said, speaking from Dubai, when he called in, he said, need a stiff drink. And then, unfortunately, you realize you're a place where you can't get alcohol, being in Dubai. So, it's sad news for him. I'm looking forward to it. If you can go online, you can see some of his stuff in the video of his stand-up as well as his work on The Daily Show. And I think he's doing good stuff. Speaking of Comedy Central, tonight, of course, is the Justin Bieber roast. You may want to check that out. Bieber, by the way, has been announced, will walk out with Floyd Mayweather when he takes on Manny Pacquiao on May the 2nd. He will join him in the ring.
Can Pacquiao knock him out, too?
Oh, it'd be best.
That'd be great.
Pre-fight. Since they're all standing there, and Pacquiao just goes up, boom! Just knocks him out. It's like a little practice. Just a little warm-up. That'd be the best. Real quick email before I get to the celebrity birthdays. We talked about this last hour, but I wanted to play it again for some folks who may have missed it. This is from a mom. And unfortunately, she doesn't say her name here. Huh. Her email name is Zoofiend.
Okay.
So if you're Zoofiend and you have a six-year-old boy named Dane, this is from you. She says, I'm one of those bad moms who does not turn off the radio while my kids are in the car. So Dane has been subjected to the Kevin and Bean Show his entire life. Dane really wanted to send this to Rao. This is Dane. He's 6 years old, and he had a story he wanted to tell me about his two-year-old sister. Go something like this.
Hi, Kevin and Bean, Rao. I'm Dane, and I am 6 years old. This is my sister, Dot. She is 2 years old. She hasn't worn diapers before she was two. But she still goes poop. But still, sometimes she goes poopoo in her pants, pee pee in her pants. But that never happened. But the weird thing is that never happens with poopoo. She always goes poopoo in the potty. As a matter of fact, she just did it right now. She just went poopoo in the potty. She just went poopoo in the potty.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Go, Dave. She just went poopoo in the potty.
She just went poo-poo in the potty.
Dane will be opening April Foolishness this Saturday.
I am shaping the minds of America. Shaping young minds.
That is not good.
It's very good. Today's celebrity birthday is Warren Beatty is 78 years old. Legendary guitarist Eric Clapton. Clapton is God was a popular saying for a while there.
Okay.
70 years old today. Paul Reiser is 58. Ian Ziering's 51. Piers Morgan is 50. Celine Dion's 47. Norah Jones is 36. Pete Holmes is also 36. And MC Hammer's 53.
I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man, you can't touch this.
Get a cool breeze from Jesus, also from MC Hammer.
He did turn into a preacher.
He preaches the Lord.
Get out the heat.
Get out the heat. Get
into church.
Church. Cool down. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He just went poo-poo in the potty.
Right. All right. Enough from you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:08.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the return of the Gleebster. Ben Gleeb joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the host of The Idiot Test on the Game Show Network, premiering this Wednesday night at 8. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
You got to be so shocked. Not that they brought the show back, because the show is fascinating, but that they didn't recast the host.
I'm shocked. I'm going on every show I can asking why. I want to know why they would do that. I didn't do great first season. No one liked me. I had even on your guys' Instagram page that you guys posted that you were excited to have me back on today, somebody said I was ugly.
Well, you can't please everybody.
I know.
And but that's so unusual for somebody to say something hurtful on the internet.
I know.
It's true.
That's why I go online for love. It's like a support group to me. And then people just throw that kind of thing at you.
Well, it's all about welcoming and acceptance.
Yeah, somebody tweeted to me 2 days ago. They tweeted, I really, really, really hate your show. to which I replied, you should probably stop watching.
Yeah, that's an odd thing to tweet.
Yeah, why do they keep on it?
I don't know.
I didn't think you were bad as a host at all.
Thank you.
By the way, on the show.
Thank you.
But I thought it was fun to see a guy just learning how to do TV. I just enjoyed that.
It's you. Like, look. Compliments are amazing.
Always backhanded.
Let me put it another way, for instance.
Backhanded.
Nobody looks at a newborn puppy and says, man, is he awesome at running and jumping. But it's still fun to watch him learn how to run and jump.
It is true. I mean, I will say this season two, I had so much more fun taping it because I felt much more comfortable and felt established, so I felt free to literally be nuts. Like, season two's weird. I got, like, a little avant-garde with the thing. It was – we were doing weird cold opens and sketches and recreating the opening of Goodfellas and, like, doing weird things. I would say – idiot test. We'll be right back, turn and just dive into the audience. Like, I'm doing odd things for a game show host.
All right. Okay.
You don't expect it. I mean, you expect that one now.
Are you high when...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Most of the time, I'm high.
You know, since the last time you were in, Ben, your little friend Kevin across the desk from you, he did a little national TV
what
on
was
his own.
It? What?
Why do you have to bring that up?
The reason I bring it up is to say that Kevin, one of the things that Kevin hosted the Anarchy afterward in the final episodes of Sons of Anarchy when that show was going away, he hosted a Talking Dead style chat show afterwards with cast members and fans and stuff. But one of the things that you found out, Kevin, is that it's very difficult to feel comfortable and casual because you got people talking in your ear. You got all these people in front of you that we can't see the home viewer. They're all just out of our view, but they're all pointing at you and trying to get you to do things and trying to get you to throw it to this guy and then stop talking about that. And I mean, there's a lot going on that we don't know about as a host.
That's true.
When you watch somebody on TV that makes it look easy,
yeah,
that's because they're good. It's not because it's easy.
That's true. And you have to have an earpiece in your ear, especially with the game shows, all these, you know, standards and practices. And if something gets tipped the wrong way, or they have to pause and figure out what to do with the answer is, judgment calls. And I have a weird thing in my brain. I don't know what it is, but my whole career, whenever I have to put an earpiece in, it shorts in my brain, like every few minutes. Like,
what do you mean it shorts in your brain?
It just doesn't work. Every 10 minutes, it'll go, and it'll just turn to static. I have to get a new earpiece with a new battery. And so...
Do you have some type of magnetic pole in your brain that's ruining electronics?
I think I have a powder-esque vibe inside my brain.
That's so weird.
When I go to fancy restaurants, forks and spoons fly toward me. I have no choice. But so I came up with an idea. My girlfriend, I have one of those now, suggested.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Sweet.
I know. It's really a mistake when you're on television on a second season to then lock yourself down and limit every other option. But I did it anyway.
All right.
And she recommended that I put a piece of wood in my pocket, which supposedly grounds the electrical current. And it really would work. When I put the wood in my pocket, it would stop shorting my earpiece. And
are you sure that wasn't like a veiled sex thing?
No, it might have been, honestly.
You piece of wood finally wanted to see some wood in your pants?
Right. Yeah, she might finally. Listen, Bean. I've a couple of times on my own been able to achieve that without
the help. Congratulations, Ben.
Thank you.
Growing up.
Thank you. Yeah, I really am.
But
literally.
I want to go where you're going, see where you're going with this, because it's not possible that works.
No, it totally did work. It would literally, the thing stopped shorting in my ear when I would have wood in my pocket, but I would often still forget. And it would short again, and literally the whole production now knew my trick. And in my ear, over the God mic to the whole audience, they'd be like, can we get some wood in Ben's pants, please? We need wood in Glebe's pants.
Wow.
And
you don't need that announced.
No, you don't need that announced. No.
We are talking to Ben Glebe here again about his TV show called The Idiot Test, which I guess it's just actually called Idiot Test.
No, it's called Idiot Test.
Right. Season 2 premieres Wednesday night on the Game Show Network. Because you're doing a game show, are there a lot of very strict rules about your interaction with contestants? And because I know that when they edit those shows, for instance, they have to let us know as the viewer that the show has been edited and it hasn't affected the outcome. I mean, a bunch of stuff happens that we never see on a game show, and
that's
it all
true.
Has to be very strictly noted, right?
That is true. Yes, they are pretty official about it. I cannot see the contestants before the episodes. If I've ever met them or in any significant way, they can't be a contestant. Season 1.
So somebody walked out and the producers had no idea, but that guy used to live next door to you in college or something like that. You'd have to stop the taping and say, I can't work with this guy, right?
That is true. They get screwed. Season 1, we had two instances of this. Season 1, one episode, somebody won the grand prize, and my manager came by, the great Barry Katz, and came by and he said, why this one little thank you guys. My intern just won $10,000 on your show.
Oh, no.
And they were like, not anymore. He's been disqualified. Episode thrown out. So that was no good for him. And then one day, I happened to, I usually don't even look at the contestant, but they handed me a picture book. They're like, take a look at the contestants for tomorrow. And I looked at them like, yep, made out with her. And they literally,
I mean, what are the chances, though?
Very high. Right? Yeah. The chances are very high.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a little bit of a kissing slut.
Sorry.
But point is, if you're interested, we can talk after the show. They said to me, it's a network issue. They called the network called back, and they're like, does he have her number in his phone? That was apparently, they may have been okay with me having kissed her drunkenly in a bar.
Okay.
I had the number.
You did.
She was DQ'd.
Disqualified.
Yeah, about that.
How about, do you ever have a contestant that's a dick and you go, I know that guy.
I should do that.
And then they toss him.
I should totally do that. Season 3, that is a good idea.
Now, Ben, what about the, and I apologize because I'm sure you've gotten this question a lot, but
sure.
What about the Trebek factor where he pretends to be the smartest guy in the world, but we know he doesn't know the answer to all those questions on Jeopardy? What's your demeanor like on the show? Like, are you pretending that you would ace Idiot Test?
I do pretend sometimes.
You mock contestants. I know that. You do mock them.
I do mock them aggressively when they get it wrong. Look, I admit when a question stumped me as well, I admit that it was hard for me.
Okay.
Usually, unless the contestant's a real dick, then I hit them with it. And I'm like, you are super dumb, even though in truth, I didn't know it either. I make them feel very bad about themselves. But this season, I'm a producer on the show, too, and I actually helped create a lot of the tests.
Oh, okay.
I wrote some from scratch, and I helped them rewrite. And I mean, our writing staff's brilliant. They come up with, like, really unique brain tests that are hard to do over and over again in different ways, but I would help them tweak them and make them a little bit more unique so I could sell it on TV. So maybe even more than Trebek, who just does read questions.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the things that I like about your show versus a lot of quiz shows that have been on TV in the past is you don't have to know anything to walk in and still be great at it. It's not like you've got to be a college guy or a history expert or anything like that or know anything about any particular topic.
That's how
it's
I can host
it. It's just common sense.
Exactly right. Yeah, I would not be able to host a show that required any knowledge, but the fact that you don't need to know anything, I was the perfect guy for the job.
All right, Beg Lieb is here. The show is Idiot Test, and it is on 8 o'clock on GSN, the Game Show Network, and that is on Wednesday night, and we need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Comedian, actor, podcaster Ben Glebe in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ben, you hit the nail on the head with your tweet on Friday. Whenever an airplane crashes, it's like CNN got picked up for another season. And I was particularly, that resonated with me because Friday was the day, I think, that terrible gas explosion happened in New York City where those apartment buildings got just demolished, right? And I saw it come online, and I said, oh my God, this is so awful. And of course, at that point, you don't know what it's going to be. So I flip on CNN. I'm thinking, well, surely they're going to have somebody on the scene telling me what's happening with this fire down there. It was nonstop
airplane.
Yeah. German wings. Nonstop having experts on talk about the state of mind of the co-pilot. I was thinking, they live for that, don't they?
They really do. It's like CNN is actually, they just become the recent history channel. They do not cover news. They cover the one sensational story they can milk for about a year.
If you don't mind my busting beans chops, who's interested in those effing plane crashes more than effing bean?
Look, I want to know what happened to the Malaysia plane that fell off the face of the earth. No sign of it was ever found. I'm interested in that. I'm not interested in round-the-clock coverage of a crash that they've already found, a crash that they already went down. I mean, look, let's do the investigation. But, I mean, how about some live coverage of something that's actually happening that might be a news story? That's all I'm saying.
By the way, I heard the German Wings plane crash. I heard that when they found a note from the pilot, and the note said, Superman, you're a real dick when you're drunk. That's what I believe.
All right, before we talk more about Idiot Test, and you say you have some questions for us, and we're very excited to embarrass ourselves on the radio. Yeah. I was fascinated by this tidbit that I found out about you. Now, you are how Jewish, Ben?
I mean, not very. I would say maybe when I drink orange juice, I'm an acidic Jew. But that's about as religious as I get.
Couple of good callbacks.
Thank you.
Your glebe is short for Glieberman or Gleberwitz. Which one?
Glieberman.
I knew it had to be one of them.
Yes, it's true.
All right. True or false that your steady girlfriend, who's very lovely, by the way, is Muslim?
That is true.
How's that going down with both sides of the family these days?
I mean, it's going bad internationally, so imagine with how it's going in the family. It's
that
not
seems
great.
Like a strange choice.
It is. It is a weird choice. Actually, my family celebrates Jewish holidays early, just whenever it's convenient for our schedules. Last night, we had our Passover Seder with my Muslim girlfriend, made her read the Passover book thing with us. It was very tense for a moment. It was very tense.
I mean, I guess that would work if you were like many Americans, which is to say, I identify with the faith of my family, but I'm not a particularly religious person. I'm not adherent or strict. And if that's the case with both of you, then I would imagine it's fine. But if you are serious Jew and she's serious Muslim, it seems like you guys would be at some awkward parties at least.
Well, you just said Passover book thing, so I'm going to take it right now.
I mean, I know it's called a Haggadah, but I feel very weird saying Jewish words, so I guess not very Jewish. I mean, we're both not very religious, but still I hold hope. You know, when we got together, I felt like maybe if we can make it work,
it'll solve the world's problems?
Yeah, maybe it'll be a template to the Middle East peace accords.
I like that you're not shooting too high.
No, not at all. And it is not working. All that ends up being is I end up pushing her to the corner of the bed, steal her sheet. She throws rocks in my eyes. It does not work out great.
How did it go over with her parents, assuming they're still with us, when they found out who she had chosen?
It went okay because they're pretty chill people as well.
Okay, cool. All yeah. right, everybody's chill. Then.
Keep asking, though, being distant relatives. There's got to be somebody that's not happy with you.
There must be a fat one against your life somewhere, right?
This is why problems persist in the Middle East. People want it. They need the drama. It's the CNN plane crash of international politics.
Right. So far, so good. I'm very happy to hear all that, right. man. That's
you must a, have right. heard that fact on Larry Wax's podcast because that was spoken nowhere else on Earth.
That's where I found out about it because I know we have a mutual friend in Larry Wax, and it was an entertaining conversation. I couldn't wait to find out the specifics. All right, let's talk Idiot Test. It premieres this Wednesday night at 8 on the Game Show Network. Now, Wednesday night is April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
So it really is premiering or it's not? This is a giant prank on America.
I'm not even sure. I mean, honestly, it's the worst day to premiere a show. It's very dumb. They told me we were premiering April 1st, and I said, bad move, you guys. We're already a show that messes with people, and we're telling them April 1st, it would be a perfect thing to not premiere it that day.
Right.
From what I'm told, it is indeed true. This Wednesday, it's premiering two back-to-back episodes. The second episode is an April Fool's special.
Okay.
But we won't know that till 8 p.m.
You won't. But maybe I'm lying still.
Okay. Yeah. All right. How many questions do you have, Ben?
I've got a few for you. I guess like four questions, maybe four or five.
Should we just go around the room, do a Kevin, do a me, do an Allie, and see how we do?
I would love it. Yeah. You want to do one per? Sure.
Hey, you're the host, man. Tell us how you want to do it.
I think that's a good way to do it. I like to do one per. That sounds fun.
All right.
That sounds fun.
Kevin, you're up first.
I don't like it.
All right, Kevin.
Yeah.
Which country has hosted the most Winter Olympics? Sarajevo, Italy, Asia, the Alps? Which one?
Italy.
Yeah, that is correct. Why is that correct?
It's the only country.
That is very well done.
That's how Idiot Test works, ladies and gentlemen.
Stop that. Well, Allie's like, look, he did it.
You thought Boston was a state.
I did at one point. That did happen. All right, so I got it. That's the only one I'm going to have to answer, right?
Probably. Yes. Well, I've got five, so I might go one half rotation again.
All right. Ruin everything.
All right, my turn.
Okay, here we go, Bean. All right. How many times is I mentioned in the traditional alphabet song?
The traditional, is that the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, D, that
sure.
one?
Sure.
I'm just going to say one.
And that would be incorrect.
Incorrect. Oh. Okay, what's the answer?
Because I is mentioned in the alphabet, and then it says, now I know my ABCs.
See, there you go. Okay.
That would be two. And
Kevin is smarter than I am. That's my takeaway from this segment.
That's a good takeaway.
Right. Allie, you're up next.
All right.
All right, Allie, here we go. Before it was discovered that the Earth was round, what shape was it? Flat, triangular, or star-shaped?
Well, it wasn't because the Earth was round.
Was that one of the options?
Is that a trick question?
The options are round, flat, star-shaped, or triangular.
Before it was discovered that the Earth was round, it was round.
That's well done.
Yeah.
Very well
there
done.
There you go.
Thank you.
Very well done.
I'm the only dummy, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we got two more. You want a chance to redeem yourself?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd rather keep it just like it is.
All right, let's go second question for each of you.
All right.
Okay. For Kevin and for Bean and see how we wind up. First, Kevin. Kevin, the butcher boned the fish and beef. The assistant deboned the chicken and mutton. How many types of meat are now boneless? 0, 2, 4, or 1.
Wow.
Butcher boned the fish and beef. Assistant deboned the chicken and mutton. How many types of meat are now boneless? 0, 2, 4, or 1.
0.
I mean, how on earth would you get at that answer? I have no idea.
I don't either. I'm literally stabbing the dart.
That is super wrong.
Oh!
The answer is... Yeah, go ahead.
Shut up, Bean. Is the answer 4? I thought you just answered your own.
The answer is 4. Yeah, well done. 4.
Well, because one's chicken, one's beef, one's fish, one's lamb, right?
And boned and deboned mean the exact same thing.
Oh, how
about
that?
So they are both now boneless.
I was just counting types of animals, so. Okay, well, that wasn't my question. I don't get a point, but still.
And the other reason, by the way, why that answer is that way, why they're now that kind of meat, because your penis is hilarious.
Okay. Another good callback.
Thank you. Thank you,
guys. I like it.
Thank you.
Now, all right. Now, I just want to say this. Please. If you ask another question for Bean and he gets it right, now we're tied.
Sure.
So how does that work?
I'll give you another one.
Okay.
All right. Okay, great. Bean, here we go. You're about to spread jelly on your toast when you drop it to the ground. Which side of the toast hits the floor, dry side or jelly side?
I would say dry side. It has to be dry side because you haven't spread the jelly yet. You're just about to, boom, drop the mic.
That is correct. Very nice. Nice. Very nice.
I think saying drop the mic is less effective than dropping a mic.
Well, I don't actually have a mic I could drop. It's attached. I'm sorry.
That's a bummer.
I'm content to leave it at a tie, Kevin, if you are. That way we both get to be smart for the rest of the day. How about that?
I need to win.
Okay, all right.
I know I'm good. Yeah. I could possibly lose. I know that, but there's something in me that needs to win.
I like that very much. All right.
Three.
So whoever answers,
sorry,
correct. That is correct.
You.
The ideal number of people to sleep together. Three.
All right, tiebreaker question.
So whoever answers first in this one?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Why not?
You are in a race. What place are you in when you pass the second place person?
You are in second place.
That
is my Kevin. Answer.
Kevin?
Third. No, first.
Kevin, I've got great news for you. You got it wrong twice.
Twice!
Being that is correct.
You are in second place if you pass the second place
right.
runner.
You haven't passed the first place runner yet, so you are still
Do
in second.
Do most people get it wrong twice?
No. No, they don't. And furthermore, I ran out of new questions. That last question, I'm pretty sure I asked you guys before on the air.
Oh, so I should have known that from before.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right.
My favorite Kevin answer, though, was of meat out of the four that you named. That was my favorite.
Zero that types of meat is always my favorite answer.
That is how Idiot Test works. It's a great, great show. It debuts, or does it, on Wednesday night, April 1st at 8 on the Game Show Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Ben Glebe here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, guys.
Natasha Leggero joins us at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is one of the roasters on the roast of Justin Bieber on Comedy Central tonight. And don't forget, go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you want to vote on who the opening act will be for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, which is going to be this Saturday at the Shrine. Hey, is our friend Matt Money Smith coming out to see us on Saturday night, or is he going to be busy watching college basketball, I wonder?
Hey, Matt Money Smith.
Yeah, I wonder, will I shirk my responsibilities for a night of wild hilarity, or will I actually pay attention to TBS? Very funny.
We've got four. Ralphie May and Tenacious D and Jay Moore. I think we win, by the way.
You know what? You certainly win in that lane. I'm going to stay in my lane, and okay. I'm going to take some good college basketball in. But no doubt, hey, I wish I could be there.
No doubt
how,
is not there.
How
no
close?
There.
How close did the miraculous University of Kentucky Wildcat season come to ending over the weekend?
Yeah, very. I mean, clearly very. They were down six late in the second half, but they're good, and that's what good teams do, you know, and that's what Wisconsin does every single game, and it's why I hate the whole narrative of, well, if you thought North Carolina was the better team, you were right. No, you weren't right, because they lost. Because when good teams fall behind and you think the University of Kentucky or the University of Wisconsin are going to lose, their players – you know, nut up, and they make huge baskets.
They
and
do.
The better team advances.
They do, but then you also go, hey, by the way, Notre Dame is playing pretty well, and they're not going to give it away for sure. So,
no.
I mean,
that and was. Look, I think the big thing with Notre Dame is you're coming off that West Virginia game where, you know, the kids that go to West Virginia were running their mouths, and boy, did. I hate the whole, well, that's bulletin board material. No, it's not. It's the NCAA tournament. The kids are going to play hard, regardless of what the opponent says, but there certainly seemed to be some extra motivation when they were up like 34-2.
Money, what is Kentucky now? Are they at 37-0? Is that where we're at?
Okay. Yes, 37-0. Well, no, let's see.
38, yeah.
So they're 38-0 now. Yeah.
Okay, 36. All right, so what about all the talk? What's your reaction to the talk? Is it just sheer foolishness because people are looking for a different angle on this tournament to suggest that they could beat any team in the NBA?
It's asinine. And
it's asinine, right?
Sorry. Yeah, it's completely asinine, and here's why. The NBA teams, there aren't five NBA rotation players on that Kentucky team. They're really good, but they're 18. Those are one-and-dones. And look, I think, granted, I'm a 40-year-old man now, but there's a difference between a talented 18-year-old and a guy that's got dad strength. And, you know, you start to get your man strength when you get into your 20s. And when you're facing the Philadelphia 76ers or the Knicks, and they've got those 28-year-old guys, they would absolutely humiliate those kids. I mean,
and you pointed out two of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what they're saying.
Because those are the ones that people are saying they could beat.
Right. I think Larry Brown, and who the hell am I to argue with one of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball, but when Larry Brown said they could make the playoffs in the East, that's just embarrassing.
I mean, that's what I thought,
that's,
too.
It's ridiculous, and I hate that because it's insulting. It's insulting to the kids. It's insulting to the professionals. And look, so what? They're bad. Everybody in the NBA is really good. and some teams are a lot better than others. But when you're talking about the 1% of the 1% of the 1% that do that job, you're not going to beat them if you're the University of Kentucky.
Why was your boyfriend Petros Papadakis rooting so violently for Notre Dame to beat Kentucky?
You know, I think Kentucky, like Duke, you know, from the 90s, has drawn the ire of a lot of folks because they don't. Here's the thing. Like, if you're an amateur, if you're a casual fan, I should say, of college basketball, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do I do this weekend? Who do I root for? Here's the thing about Kentucky and Duke. When you look at their rosters, you might find one guy from Kentucky on the Kentucky roster. You might find one, if you're lucky, player on Duke's roster from North Carolina. When you look at Michigan State and Wisconsin, those guys are from Michigan and Wisconsin. It's kind of what high school football used to be, you know, when everybody from a neighborhood got together and on the football field, you wanted to see if your neighborhood could kick the other neighborhood's ass. And that's changed. But
so Kentucky and Duke are just best.
Yeah, they're pulling guys from Texas and right. New York and Chicago and wherever, whereas, you know, Sam Decker's from Port Washington, Wisconsin. I think Josh Gosser's from Sheboygan, you know. I mean, Frank Kaminsky's from Lisle, Illinois, on the border of Wisconsin. That's what's so cool about those teams is they're all local kids that kind of played on teams together in the same area that get together to see if they could do it at the next level. And I think there's just something exciting about that, you know, and endearing about that, as opposed to this all-star team that's put together for a single season to see if they can do something special.
We're talking to Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Radio Show, weekday afternoons on AM 570 LA Sports. Yes, you had a question, dear.
It seemed like so many people were not really giving Michigan State the players the due that they deserved. It went more towards, well, Izzo, I mean, he did it. Yeah. Look at him. What do you think about that?
Well, it's because he's done it forever. He's arguably the best coach in college basketball. I know, you know, people point to Coach K, and he's got the most wins of any coach ever. And obviously, John Calipari has navigated this whole one and done, which means, you know, if you're a high school player, you only have to go to college for 1 year before you jump to the NBA. So he gets the most talented kids that you know are only going to be there for 1 year to sacrifice their individual talent for a team concept. And that's great that he does that. And it is remarkable that he's able to do that, that these kids don't care about their stats as much but do want to win. But for Tom Izzo, you know, again, he takes, and same with Bo Ryan, the head coach at Wisconsin, Tom Izzo takes local kids, gets them to believe, puts them on a, you know, it's almost on a coaching course. Hey, this is how we do it, and this is how we win. And when you're talking about someone who in the round, I want to say it's in the round of 32. So in the second round, if you win, you go to the Sweet 16. I think the guy's 14-2.
Wow.
That's just stupid. I mean, it is a stupid, stupid number that he's that good of a coach. And that's why he gets celebrated so much, because his teams, it's a team that lost to, like, Texas State at home in November, and yet when March comes around, his teams are the absolute toughest to knock out of the tournament.
All right, it's an impossible question to ask, but what's the possibility of there being a non-Kentucky Duke final?
I think it's very possible.
Really?
Very, very possible. Remember last year, and I understand this Kentucky team's better than last year's Kentucky team, but last year Wisconsin should have won that game. You know, they lost by a single point to Kentucky. And they should have won the way that whole thing, you know what, that's not right to say. They had that game, and just execution, you know, took a big brief of absence, I should say, just decided to take a couple plays off, and that's why they lost. So they are, it's very similar to the Spurs and the Heat. So imagine the NBA Finals last year. All these people were pulling for the Spurs because the Heat kind of got that lucky bounce. They win the championship, and all you heard last NBA season was, the Spurs have a singular focus. They are going to get back to the NBA Finals, and they are going to prove that they were better than Miami Heat, and they're going to win. That's kind of Wisconsin's mission this year. You have Frank Kaminsky, who's going to win the National Player of the Year. Sam Decker, you have all this talent that came back for another year because they are determined to prove to people that they can beat Kentucky, and that one-point loss is going to be vanquished from their conscience. And that's their singular purpose this year. So that, it won't surprise me. They are really, really good. You got three lottery picks on that team in Kaminsky, Sam Decker, and Nigel Hayes, and you've got an awesome Hall of Fame coach in Bo Ryan. So that's not going to be, that's going to look like the Notre Dame game You know, that's what this Wisconsin-Kentucky game is going to look like.
And even though you ended up with three number ones in your final four, you couldn't have asked for more closer games. I mean, even the Gonzaga-Duke game, you know, was in play until the last 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, it seems like almost all of them have been so close, and a lot of buzzer beaters early in the tournament. Once again this year, March Madness has been phenomenal.
I think one of the things, you know, if you try to, you know, remember this year for next year when you fill out your brackets, just it's coaches. You know, you look at these coaches, and we have, you know, Tom Izzo and Bo Ryan and John Calipari and Mike Krzyzewski in the Final Four. You know, and if you just go back to the eight, it's Sean Miller, it's you know, Mike Bray. All these coaches are the elite coaches. And, you know, I'm kicking myself for taking Virginia because I got to see Michigan State up close when I called the Big Ten tournament, and they had that game wrapped up, you know, but it slipped away from them in the last 17 seconds. I think that's, you know, unfortunately, Allie, speaking to your point, it's a coach's game, you know, because the kids don't stick around like they used to. They can have so much impact by going to school for a single semester and flunking all their classes in the second semester because they don't give a damn because they're going to the NBA anyway. So it really does come down to these coaches.
Isn't it amazing, Matt, as we say goodbye here, that Coach K has been coaching Duke for 35 years?
I don't know if it's amazing or if it's ridiculous or if it's – I don't know what it is. It's hard to imagine staying in Durham, North Carolina for 35 years.
And 5 years as a coach before that with Army, too. I mean, this guy – I mean, it's unbelievable how much he's offered
the Laker job, the Knicks job, the Bulls job. This guy's been offered every NBA job there is, and he turns them all down to stay there. I guess it should be celebrated, you know, the fact that he wants to do it all.
Please don't let us find out he covered up a sex scandal at some point. Please, okay?
Italian restaurant.
All right. Right. Well, the Final Four is this weekend, of course, and then the College Basketball National Championship. Matt Money Smith and his friend Petros Papadakis will be all over this weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
You got it.
And it is 8:54.
Penis. No, not right now, Kevin. We're doing something else. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Put some Legos in my Easter basket. We're gonna have a problem. That's all I'm telling parents.
Okay.
I find freaking Legos in my basket. We're thrown down.
But I think, don't kids love Legos as much as they love anything in the world, Ralph?
Do you not know how the Easter basket works?
Yeah, there's candy. But there's oftentimes little toys, little things to play with as well. What's wrong with Legos?
They're taking up chocolate room is what they're doing.
It's true.
They're taking up precious chocolate room. You know what? Legos means one more candy bunny.
Okay.
That's a good point.
That's science.
By the way, how much do you bet that Kevin still gets an Easter basket every year?
Or an Easter basket, for that matter.
Easter basket, yeah.
Yeah. I would say 100%.
100%.
Opportunity.
He looks forward to it every year.
Opportunity for chocolate? Taken. That's what I'm saying. Do you get an Easter basket every year, Kevin?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he lives the life of a very rich 7-year-old.
He does.
If a 7-year-old made millions, he would be Kevin. What he carries in his pockets,
how
he lives his life, what he eats, it's the life of a billionaire 7-year-old. He's Richie Rich from the comic books.
Allie asked if I had a dollar, and I pulled out the wad that
Just the ball o' cash.
So weird.
It's the ball o' cash. No one knows how much is in it. No one knows what denominations. There's usually several hundreds wrapped up with fives and some twos and a bunch of singles. You don't know. It's like a game show.
The yo-yo.
It's like going into one of those booths where the money flies around and you just grab it. And you just take and shove it in your pants. That's what Kevin's wallet is.
And you don't have any time for hollow Easter Bunny chocolate, right? I mean, it's all gonna be the solid chocolate.
What?
I need a file cabinet.
What planet do you come from where it's not a given that the hollow Easter Bunny is BS? Why is that even a question you're asking?
Well, because I think Bean doesn't have kids, and that makes a big.
But that's what
a
lot of people
sell. He must have been a child at one point, right?
I'm not sure.
That's true.
I don't know for sure.
For all we know,
he may have been born at this age.
He was raised in a lab. They just got him out of some sort of flask. He was poured into a vat, put into a mold, and came out like this. By the way, you missed it last week, Kevin, where Bean was telling us how it's important to be able to show your junk out of your window in public.
I didn't say that.
What?
I didn't say that at all.
I have no idea.
What I said is the man...
Bean likes to show his junk to people from his window.
Nothing to do with me.
Only when it's sunny, so he can get sun on
his... When he gets sun on his penis.
A guy got arrested... Creepy alert. A guy got arrested, Kevin, for exercising naked in his own home because people could see him through his window on the street. To which I said, it's they're the pervs. They're the ones who are looking in his window. He's just exercising his right to be naked in his own house.
Let me clarify Bean's spin on the story. The man was standing at his window.
Yes, jumping up and down.
Holding on to barbells, jumping up and down.
And it didn't occur to Bean until I mentioned, I think the guy's just an exhibitionist.
It never dawned on me.
Perfectly reasonable behavior. Got no problems with that. So we did a scientific survey on it, and I was proven completely in the right, in the majority.
Oh, were you? That's funny.
I'm guessing it was 3-0 wrong.
Oh, yeah, it was. It actually was 3-0 against me. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with standing in front of the window with your junk out. Those people shouldn't be looking.
Thank you, Ralph.
That bus full of school children should not have complained when they drove by that man's house.
I think it's on them.
There was a school bus, Kevin, that complained because his junk was pressed up against his glass window.
That is Bean being a contrarian. There's no way believes that
Bean,
that's on them.
My fear is Bean's doing it on the island.
Thank
it
you.
Is.
Don't blame it's it on
real.
Me.
Please.
That was all Bean.
Please
it is Ryder Syndrome.
Give now. Write a check.
That is all Bean.
To the RSA. Oh, man. That's
you can finally get the altitude from when you're off the boat.
I smell burning toast. I taste pennies.
And it was so clear in my head.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was the last thing he ever said to Jake? The day Bean just stroked out. Oh, man.
It's enough from you, Allie. Not that funny.
It was that funny. Oh. All right, before I get to celebrity birthdays, I have to apologize to a large section of our listeners.
Oh, what happened?
I forgot one of our celebrities. This email came in from Nick Haworth. Nick writes, I noticed in the last celebrity birthday segment you forgot to mention one of the most iconic figures in the history of music. That's right, I'm talking about Bobby Mother Effing McFerrin. He had such classic hits as Don't Worry, Be Happy, and, well, he didn't really have any others. But either way, how could you forget about Bobby? I woke up in a new Bugatti. How could you forget about Bobby? How could you forget about Bobby? How could you forget about Bobby? Sorry, Nick. Sorry about that. It is Bobby McFerrin's birthday.
Remember when Bean said that thing about the boat?
I sure do. I'll never forget that.
Where were you guys when I said that?
So fun.
Terrence Howard's 46 years old today as we look at the birthdays. Johnny Knoxville's 44. Joel and Benji Madden are 36. David Anders from Alias and iZombie is 34. Thora Birch is 33 years old today. And Anton Yelchin celebrates his 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:08.
What's happening
over
there?
Just my microphone goes wherever it wants. So to keep talking, I have to follow it. That's how it works.
We don't think there's some sort of operator error happening there. That's actually an equipment problem.
Chip.
It's equipment.
Thank you.
Well, okay. Hey, just real quick.
Endorsement.
Speaking of Mumford & Sons, not only will they be with us here tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, but they're going to be playing at the Roxy tonight and tomorrow night. Tickets are on sale. Well, they went on sale at 9 o'clock this morning for the Roxy, so that's gone. But you can try again tomorrow for the Tuesday night Roxy performance. Very excited about Mumford. Their new album is coming out Monday, May 4th, called Wilder Mind. They will be here tomorrow. As you know, we've been looking forward to it ever since we first heard it was going to be happening. The roast of Justin Bieber on Comedy Central finally airs tonight at 10 o'clock. Natasha Leggero is on the phone. She is one of the celebrity roasters. And one of the great things about roasts is they don't just roast the honoree, in this case, Justin Bieber. They roast everybody in the room. And here she is talking about the roastmaster, Kevin Hart, and lots of other people on the dais.
Kevin has a Napoleon complex. Kevin, Napoleon was the leader of France. Ludicrous, France is in Europe. Justin, Europe's a continent. Shaq, a continent is not a free breakfast.
Natasha, very funny stuff. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi. Oh, Shaq was so cute.
I heard that I haven't seen but a couple of clips from the special. I wanted to save it for tonight, but I heard that Shaq was really good.
He was awesome. I mean, there's going to be so many surprises. Martha Stewart, to me, was the best. She just blew me away.
Let me ask you about that, though, because there's about half comedians and half non-comedians, but you know comedians are writing for, like Martha Stewart, for example. Is that annoying to you, or you find it funny?
There's writers on the roast. It's collaborative, and the fact that Justin Bieber, Martha Stewart, you know, chose... And also, who knows, I know that, you know, Justin wrote some stuff, and I know Martha wrote some stuff, and, you know, the fact that they choose to say some of the edgier material, I mean, that speaks a lot, too. I think that's really cool and brave, and I think people are going to be pretty shocked.
I'd just like to correct something. Martha didn't write anything.
I mean, come on.
Well,
did she?
I don't know for a fact what she did, but I know that she picked and chose, and people decide what they want to talk about, and... You know, I know there
Kevin,
were some things that were.
How do you know she didn't pick up some mad skills in the joint, man?
That's a good question. That's
very
a good question.
Point.
I didn't even
you
think
know, that's a real learning ground. A lot of convicts learn a new skill behind bars, man. How do you know she didn't have really funny cellmates?
Good point.
That's
See?
What I'm yeah. saying,
I
dude.
I hadn't thought of it. My
I
bad.
Mean, she's pretty gangster.
We asked your friend Jeff Ross was here on Friday talking about the roast, and it seemed to me like he didn't really – he told us verbatim almost that he didn't have much of an opinion about the Biebs before he got involved in this roast, but he actually genuinely ended up liking him and rooting for the kid. Tell me about your feelings toward Justin before and after the roast, Natasha.
Well, Jeff has hung out with him a lot, so I haven't done that. So, you know, maybe that peppered his opinion.
Right.
But, I mean, Justin, I didn't really have any... I just thought he did music for children.
That's about right. Okay.
Yes.
And then, you know, after meeting him, the only thing I will say is he's just much hotter in person than I thought he would be.
Really?
Much hotter.
I didn't think I would be attracted to him. He's very cute. And then also, the thing that I thought was really cool about him is, you know, he comes from a pretty conservative Christian background. And the fact that he said some of the things he said, I thought was pretty funny and cool. And he seemed to have a pretty healthy sense of humor about it. So I was impressed by that. You know, because some people can just be a little too serious.
I love it when the people that are getting roasted are too serious, like Donald Trump and people like that, where you go, oh, they're...
No, he's not like that.
They're trying to laugh, and they're trying to make it look like they're having a good time, but they're not. My fear is that I'm going to be disappointed in this, because unless Justin Bieber cries...
like a little girl. I feel like we lose.
Well, well, that's not true. I mean, you're going to see a bunch of jokes, and, I mean, I wish I could say that he had a breakdown, but that to me, the way he handled it... He handled it like a comedian, and that's what I was impressed by. He seemed, and some of the jokes he had were very edgy and funny and kind of making fun of himself for being successful and rich. And, you know, it was, he had a small speech about Jesus, but I'm sure they'll cut that out.
Well, who doesn't in a roast? I mean, who doesn't talk about Jesus?
I sure hope they don't.
Now, speaking of stuff that they cut out, Natasha, and I understand that it's still, even with all the stuff they cut out, it's still the first 2-hour Comedy Central roast that they've ever done.
So, it is?
Yes.
Yes. Plus Sarah Tiana with the half-hour red carpet warm-up show. So it's a whole evening of entertainment on Comedy Central today. But I wanted to ask, because one of the things that trickled out was a little bit of controversy about Ludacris maybe kind of taking offense, like too close to home, the jokes about his friend Paul Walker. And I wondered, what's it like in the room when stuff like that happens? Does it get suddenly uncomfortable, or do people just kind of laugh it off if they're not feeling the jokes?
Well, I mean, as comedians, we laugh it off, but, you know, with Ludacris, he was clearly upset after the show, and he, you know, he's just a sensitive guy. He's not used to hanging around people who are, like, joking about rape and 9/11 and AIDS all day, you know?
You mean,
like,
all the best funny topics?
But I'm just saying, like, comedians, like, there's very little that they can't handle and talk about and make fun of.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, for someone who's maybe a little more sheltered to be thrown into that environment, you know, it can be a little heavy. And I just don't think he was prepared for it, because in his mind, that's off limits. Meanwhile, you have Pete Davidson wanting people to make fun of his dad for dying in 9/11.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's, That's, I mean, he opened, Pete opened with a joke about that. His dad did die in 9/11, and, you know, it's like, to me, I'm like, I don't want to do jokes about that. And Pete, during the roast, was like, just do it. Just do them. Like,
he was trying to get you to make 9/11 jokes about his dad dying.
I'm just telling you, that's where comedians go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's just hard when someone's not used to being around that kind of energy, because a comedian's job is to just take something, a lot of times something sad or something, you know, that can be harrowing and try to see what's the funniest part of it, or how can we try to make that funny? Because it's, you know, and now it's, everything's changed and there's nothing we can do about it.
Now, right. Jeff brought up on Friday that he thinks this is the first time anyone's actually actively contacted Comedy Central and said, hey, roast me, which is what Justin did. A 21-year-old kid, essentially, saying, will you guys please roast me? Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, and that's why I'm telling you there was something very mature about the way he handled it and really cool. Like, I wouldn't want to be roasted, have all the attention on me. I mean, it's one thing to be on the dais and have a little joke here and there, but, like, I wouldn't want that. So I think he does have a worldliness that he's probably developed from being the number one pop star.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I'm afraid we're all going to like him after this. I don't know.
That is the goal, honey. I mean,
that's his goal.
I don't like that goal.
It's not my goal. That's
no,
his goal.
But let me just tell you, some of the jokes I said were so mean that I just feel like I'm not going to be logging on to Twitter for two or three weeks. Honestly, because, you know, these people, it's already the hate mail I've been getting from jokes that have been leaked are like, you know, they're all, it's like from Portuguese 11-year-olds. Like, it's international children.
Natasha, and the internet is all about love. You know that. It's all
but
about
I've never
support.
Had, like, I've never had, like, international vitriol, like, directed at me and just all these girls. But then I'm like, imagine Selena Gomez. She must have just had, like, so much hate mail for even, like, have dated him.
Well, the show looks so funny. I mean, it really is the roast I've been looking forward to for so long. It airs tonight at 10 on Comedy Central. Natasha, we just hear that you killed it. We're very excited to see your set, and I hope we get a chance to have you back in on the Kevin and Bean Show soon. We always enjoy talking to you. Thanks so much.
Okay, awesome. Bye, guys. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
And guess what?
What?
He's playing at Coachella. He's playing the third night on April 19th.
Oh, he's at Coachella. I didn't realize that, Ronnie. Thank you very much.
You may have things wrong on Coachella there.
He may have a lot of things wrong about that.
Hey, Monday morning, Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But real quick, Ralph, before we hand it over to you, I just want to remind folks again, go to krock.com, kevinandbean.com. Congratulations to the top 10 finalists who are in the running to be America's Next Top Model.
I don't think it's America's Next Top Model. I think they're opening for Foolishness.
Yes. That's what it is. Yeah, opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. We put videos up there from all 10 of the comedians who are vying to be the opening act for us this Saturday night at the Shrine. Go ahead and watch them. You'll have a great time. This isn't like homework. You really will enjoy it. It's fun. It's very funny stuff.
No, 2 minutes just, tops each, pretty much.
Yeah, and then just vote for your favorite and see who gets to join us at the show this weekend. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat now. What's going on?
Congratulations to the very few of the top 10 that Kevin thought it was worth mentioning their names of this morning as well, too. I'm gonna give them a shout out. It was nice.
Kelsey Cook is one of the finalists.
Yes, she is.
Junior de Guzman, Jeff Keith, Michael Lenoci. Shut up, all of you. Dan Madonia, Nick Morton, Ivan Pichel, Eddie Pence, Kat Radley, and Dean Wolf.
Who is the second one?
How many of those names do you think are right?
Who is the second one again?
Junior de Guzman?
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
No, it's totally right.
Okay.
It was awesome. Sorry, Kevin. Welcome back. Yay.
Thanks.
Lamb dog!
Not ready.
Turn to the Kev dog. Lamb dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Lamb dog.
Lamb dog.
Yeah. I've got tickets to give away before we get into the show business. Tickets for one of my favorite events of the year. It's a little thing I like to call WonderCon!
You have a winner, believe it or not.
WonderCon's the best. It's like the San Diego Comic-Con, only you don't have to drive to San Diego. You just have to go to Anaheim. Boom, you're there. It's the Anaheim Convention Center. It's happening this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 3rd through the 5th. WonderCon is an amazing event.
Ralph, how do they compare with talent? Comic-Con, obviously, everybody goes to.
Yes, they get a ton of guests at WonderCon as well. because it's so close to L.A. A lot of people go down there to talk about their projects. And WonderCon, you can go to comic-con.org for more information and to get your own tickets. But it's a great event this year. And I thought I would give away some tickets with a little trivia question. I was very excited over the weekend. The news was finally broke. I was privy to this a little bit earlier, but I couldn't really talk about it. But Adam West and Burt Ward mentioned over the weekend at another comic book convention that they have been in talks with Warner Brothers and DC Comics about voicing an animated Batman movie where they will reprise their roles as Batman and Robin.
All right.
From the 60s. Which
now, is that a big deal?
It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And it's great to have the guys back in those characters again. And this is going to be an animated film based on the 1966 series that's going to be just an outstanding project. I was very happy to hear them finally talking about that. So I thought I would make it appropriate for my trivia question for the WonderCon tickets. Recently, in the smash hit movie, the Lego movie,
right?
Batman was also featured. Give me the name of the actor who voiced Batman in that animated project. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call in if you know the answer. First four people through with the correct answer win a pair of single-day passes to WonderCon.
The Sting.
It's not Sting. It's not.
That makes sense.
It's not one at all.
Throwback, sorry.
Top 10 movies at the box office. We talk about it every Monday morning. Home, in its debut, made $54 million. That made it number one. Get Hard, the new Will Ferrell film, about $35 million. Made it number two. Insurgent was third. Cinderella and It Follows were the top five movies at the box office. Then Kingsman, Run All Night, the second exotic Marigold Hotel. Do You Believe? And The Gunman were your top 10 movies at the box office. Kelly Osbourne apparently has decided to follow in the footsteps of Angelina Jolie. She has revealed that she, too, has the BRCA1 gene abnormality that puts her at a high risk of developing breast and ovarian cancers. So she said that she is eventually going to undergo a double mastectomy like Angelina Jolie did in hopes of eliminating the potential for her to get breast cancer.
What are the statistics on that, Ralph? Is it super? It's super high, right?
They test it. Everyone has the BRCA gene, apparently.
Okay.
And then they test that gene to see if it is mutated, if it's abnormal. That is the indicator that you have a likelihood of developing those cancers.
Got it.
And if that's the case, a lot of women now, of course, very publicly done with Angelina Jolie, both in the case of her mastectomy and also her hysterectomy, they're choosing to remove those parts that could be cancerous before they actually get the cancer in a hope to stave off the cancer. And it's fairly successful, although as you can imagine, a very serious operation.
Sure.
But it's a choice a lot of women are making now, and Angelina Jolie has certainly put it first and foremost in the news. So,
and we're sure she's just not trying to lose weight, right? That's not what's happening here.
Yes. Yes.
Well played. I'm just checking.
Well played.
Well, actresses are very self-conscious about their figures.
Wow, a chill just went through my body.
I believe her aunt, her mother, and grandmother all had breast
cancer. I know
cancer.
Sharon famously is a breast cancer survivor. Yeah, so.
But they were thin, right?
Goodbye, Bean. We'll see you later.
I mean,
night,
do I have
night.
To say file?
Night, night. Are we putting him out?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great if we had like a blow dart? We could just hit him in the back of the neck and he would just go unconscious. Let's just ask him to stand up. We should just ask Bean to stand up and he'll pass out for us. We can get on with the show. Here's a new couple you didn't see coming, I'm guessing. Mariah Carey's got a new boyfriend. She, of course, split up with her husband, Nick Cannon. She's now spending time with director Brett Ratner. That's a thing.
Rush Hour guy?
Rush Hour guy, yeah.
Huh. Okay.
They're age appropriate.
Yes.
For both of them.
For both of them.
Well done.
It's definitely an up. I don't know anything about Brett Ratner, but I guarantee he's an upgrade from Nick Cannon.
Wow. Why you got to be like that, man? Nick's one of the funniest people in show business.
Look at all the TV shows they give him.
Well, exactly. Would they keep giving him TV shows if he wasn't brilliantly talented?
It's a good point.
While we're talking about hosts, congratulations to Trevor Noah. He is the new Daily Show host. Daily Show, of course, over there on Comedy Central. Jon Stewart has famously announced he's retiring. So the South African comedian will now be the new host of the Daily Show. It has been confirmed that he's been chosen over a handful of possible replacements, many of them who had worked on the Daily Show for many years. He was added to the cast in December. He's only appeared in three segments on the show, but apparently has made such of an impact with the producers that they decided to tap him to be the new host.
Now, let me ask you, Ralph, because
yes.
there are a lot of rumors out there
now. I did
now
turn
about,
it down. I said, no, no, I'm not interested.
A lot of rumors out there about folks who were approached. I've heard Amy Schumer's name, Louis C.K., others. Do you think that would have been Comedy Central's first choice was to put a big name in there, and then they just looked around and said, well, we just can't find anyone that's a known quantity, so let's go new and untested and keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best?
I don't think they wanted a name in that role, no. I don't think they wanted anyone who would overshadow the brand. When Jon Stewart joined, he was relatively unknown. He had been
absolutely,
known
yeah.
in comedian circles as being a talented guy, but wasn't a big, big name. I think they want to Daily Show to still be the focus of the program, the Daily Show. They don't want it to be a name. Look, that's what the Late Late Show did as well when they left. Craig Ferguson left. They brought in James Corden, who's a very talented guy, but not exactly a star. I think they want sometimes these programs to stand on their own. Plus, it's also more cost efficient.
Yeah.
To hire a guy who's sort of an up-and-comer versus trying to pay for big-name talent. It just can be cost-prohibitive. So.
And there's also a little bit less pressure since we have no expectations of this young man because most of us have never seen him.
And, you know, if he doesn't work out, bring in somebody else.
Right.
It's hard to follow in Jon Stewart's footsteps.
Sure.
I mean, that certainly goes without saying. But I think this guy's got a good shot, so I wish him well. And this is good news. It's been a long time we've been talking about the possibility of Sacha Baron Cohen taking on the role of the late Freddie Mercury, lead singer for Queen, in a movie about his life. Well, Queen's manager Jim Beach posted on his website over the weekend that Sacha has officially signed on to the long-delayed project. It's going to happen.
Fantastic.
It is good news. Sacha apparently passed back in 2013 when he didn't really see eye to eye with the script and the director. But now, apparently, everything has been worked out, and he's back on board. So, that's good news.
I have a clip from the soundtrack that's already been released.
What?
You want to know what Sacha Baron Cohen
I would love to hear a clip from that, the soundtrack of that.
Singing in that role as Freddie Mercury. It's amazing. You close your eyes, man. You can't believe it's not really Freddie.
We are the champions, my friends.
I mean, I think he nailed it.
That's not. I mean, that's.
We are the champions.
It's ridiculous.
We are the champions. No time for losers, cause we are the champions.
Like a songbird.
It's good stuff right there.
That's the right clip, right?
Yeah. Just keep playing it. Keep going.
I'll listen to it all day.
Do you have a clip too, Kevin?
I do, as a matter of fact.
You're balking at that clip.
That's
not the real clip.
Thank you,
Your
Ralph.
Clip is the real clip of the soundtrack of Sacha Baron Cohen singing Freddie Mercury from Queen. Okay. All right, everybody got it out of their system now? We all good?
Got a lot more of them.
Yeah. This guy's got a lot of his system. Are we good?
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a good movie.
Let's see if we have an answer for my trivia question. Let's talk to Sean in Whittier, shall we, on line two? Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
Good news. Adam West is going to voice Batman again in an animated project. Who voiced Batman in the Lego movie?
That was Joe Bluth himself, Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, indeed. Did a great job in that role. Hold on, Sean. We're going to give you a pair of one-day passes to see WonderCon down in Anaheim this weekend.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations also to Rick and Michael and Karen. A young lady who would like to go to WonderCon this weekend.
Well, she dialed after her boyfriend gave her the answer.
How dare you? Go to line five right now. Go to line five right
Look,
now.
Look, she can lie like girls
She's not
do.
Going
Come
to
on,
lie.
Ralph.
Karen?
Hello?
Hi, Karen. Are you a nerd? Are you a comic girl?
My boyfriend's actually in class right now, so I am by myself waiting for him. So this is all me.
It's all for you. See?
Suck it, Bean.
Thank you, Karen.
All right.
Congratulations. Well, you're going to WonderCon this weekend.
I like when listeners still Bean to suck it.
Me too.
Wow. Harsh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Warren Beatty is 78 years old today. Eric Clapton is 70. Paul Reiser turns 58 years old today. 85 would not be a compliment to Paul Reiser. Ian Ziering's 51. Piers Morgan is 50. Celine Dion is 47. Nora Jones turns 36, as does Pete Holmes. Our own Miss Double December, Ashley, is 28 years old today.
Yay! No way!
Excuse me. Happy birthday, Ashley.
Bell, please.
See you this weekend.
There you go.
And MC Hammer celebrates his 53rd birthday.
I told you, homeboy.
Can't touch this.
Yeah.
Can't touch this. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Mumford & Sons in studio. How about that? Very exciting. And iZombie is a new TV show on the CW, which is great. We have Rose McGyver and David Enders in studio as well. And your tickets for April Foolishness in the Party Bus section tomorrow morning.